Blog Talk Radio.
Stand up, we shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you got more to give, then you got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up, we shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you got more to give, then you got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. We still don't understand. Thunder and lightning flash back to when we didn't fund the dam. Didn't fund the dam levy, no wonder, man. Now a whole damn city's torn asunder, man. Underwater, but we still don't understand. We see hurricane spills overrun the land through gaps you couldn't fill with 100 tons of sand. No, we still don't understand. We've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. We've seen flames sending chills through London. And we've sent planes to kill them. And some of them are children, but still we crumble in the buildings. Underfunded, but we still don't understand. Under God, but we kill like the son of Sam. But if you feel like I feel about the son of man, we will overcome. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. And stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. Except by a woman dying from a loss of food. Except by a freedom fighter bleeding on a cross for you. We shall not be moved, except by a system that's rotten through. Neglecting the victims and ordering the cops to shoot. High treason, now we need a prosecute. So stand up. We shall not be moved, and we won't fight a war for fossil fuel. At times like this, you wanna plot a coup. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up and I'll copy you. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up. Now shake, shake a Polaroid screen. Nightmare negatives develop on the screen. We sit back and wait for the government team. Criticize they, but who the fuck are we? The people want peace, but the leaders want war. Neighbors don't speak peace through the front door. House representatives, please stay the course. For relief of faith. Once more, put your hands up high if you haven't abandoned. Hope that the pen strokes stronger than the cannon. Balls to the wall, nose to the grindstone. My interrogation techniques leave your mind blown. Place your bets, let speak to the enemy. Don't let him pretend that we seek blood. And who's we anyway? Kino Sabe. Mighty warlord, wannabe street star. A threat for a threat leaves the whole world terrified. Blow for blow never settles the score. Word for word, it's time we clarify. We the people did not want war. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up and I'll copy you. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up.
Good morning. Once again, you are listening to Mind Over. This is The Die Is Cast. Today is Wednesday, August the 10th, 2011. Just want to thank everybody for joining me this morning. I'm sitting here watching CNN. It looks like they got 9 of the 12 member Super Congress that's supposed to be voting on our imminent destruction with those tax increases that are soon to come, soon as this economy implodes. And for those of you that don't know, the Dow is down about 400 points right now. The last time I checked, or the last time they showed it on CNN, the Dow is down again. And they're sitting here speculating why the Dow is down. Well, I can pretty much give you an idea. I'm not no expert, but I can read between the lines. You know, it was down last week. It was down Monday after the S&P downgrade. and it went up yesterday, and today again it is down. What happened yesterday? They made a correction. Like I said, the Federal Reserve is buying their own debt. They're buying their own Treasury notes. So that's why there was a correction. I wouldn't be surprised if they started buying more of those tomorrow. But apparently, it looks like a lot of the regular investors are getting out of the markets and probably getting into something more safe, like gold and silver or something else other than a dollar right now. Gold is hit new record highs this morning. $1,798.00. 1 ounce of gold will pay all my bills for the month, and I will have like $800 or $900 worth of fiat money left over. When will people get their heads out their butt and realize what's the real money and what's not the real money? I'm not saying go out there and buy like 100 ounces of gold. I know people can't afford it, but silver's pretty good right now, too. Silver's the poor man's gold, and his futures on silver are looking good because they are holding silver down like I don't know what. It's still not even busting $40. And gold, it shot up about $20, $30 overnight. Silver is sitting at $39.29. Like I said, I could take an ounce of gold right now and pay all my bills and get like probably like what? Let me see. Yeah, about $1,000 and change or less. Yeah. I get back about $1,000 and change. I could pay all my bills with one of those doggone stinking 1 ounce gold coins. And get all those worthless fiat dollars back. But hey, you know, people will stay in, you know, people will keep their worthless dollars and figure out in the long run it's not going to do them any good. It's going to harm them more than it does them any good. And for those people out there that don't think that this downgrade doesn't affect them, the market's plunging 3 times within a 5-day time span, is not going to affect them. Okay, whatever. There's a trickle down effect. You'll be affected. You'll be affected. You'll go to the grocery store and wonder why a loaf of bread is like $3 or $4. Milk is $5 or more. It might be $5 now. But you know, those people will figure it out. Here is the link where I get the live update. And like I said, this, I'm going to put this link in the chat. It's from kitco.com. But here's the link where I get the live updates about gold and silver every morning, kitco.com. Bob Chapman was on yesterday. He was on Proof Show last night. He's been dealing with gold and silver markets forever, longer than before I was born. He probably has a lot of information about that for people who want to get involved in it. He's got his free newsletter. If you're buying from him, he has a lot of good information. So Bob Chapman was on Proof Show last night. So if you want to check him out, you can look him up. Internationalforecaster.com. And he has more information than I can ever think of on gold and silver, because you know, I just do a little research on it and I can figure out where to put your money at. He can probably tell you a lot more. With his 30 years plus in the business. But the markets, they keep changing. They gotta keep changing. and apparently, you know, they have 9. I forget the names. I have to look the names up. They have 9 people for this Super Congress. They have them ready and they're put in place because, once again. This debt limit situation is not over. They just got a temporary extension on it. And then we're going to be in the same situation come the end of this month, around the beginning of September. They're going to be drawing out this drama again. It's all theatrics. It's a bunch of nonsense. But anyway, let's see here. I had an article. Yeah, it is. This is out of Reuters. Most Americans believe U.S. on wrong track, Reuters IPSOS poll. Reuters, Americans by a large majority believe the United States is on the wrong track, and nearly half think the worst is yet to come in the economy. A Reuters IPSOS poll said Wednesday. President Barry Sotero, the Fuhrer, the Legion of Doom, Barack Obama, whatever you want to call him, approval rating dropped to 45% from 49% a month ago, according to the poll conducted from last Thursday. From last Thursday to Monday. Yeah, no doubt. The market's crashed twice. We got slammed by China and Russia. Then, of course, the Taliban slammed us over the weekend, if you believe that. A period that included a historic downgrade of America's credit rating. Oh, yeah, that too. We got slammed by S&P. New recession fears and the start of stock market sell-offs. Yeah, I just said that. The poll found that 73% of Americans said the United States is on the wrong track. And just 21% said the country is headed in the right direction. I guess the other 2 or 3% are undecided. There's always some undecided people. This is the highest figure measured so far since Reuters IPSOS began polling Americans' public opinion in February 2009. The survey of 1,055 adults found that 47% of responders said the worst is yet to come in the U.S. economy, and increase of 13 percent points from a year ago when the question was raised. This is the highest measure since March 2009, when concern peaked at 57% at the height of the recession. Yeah, it goes on to say there, talking more in depth about the economy. If you're not listening to the chat room, I got that article. It's off Reuters. Most Americans believe U.S. on wrong track. I'm going to post that in the chat room. But, you know, this is the thing. I have no doubt that poll is true, because I'm more willing to believe Reuters than a lot of other places. But my thing is, if that's true, why are these knuckleheads not out here buying gold and silver, especially silver, because it's still relatively cheap? They're questioning the government, but when people like me come and tell them what to go put their worthless dollars in, like gold and silver, they get up in an uproar and call you a conspiracy theorist. I don't understand that. I mean, you can sit here and talk about gold and silver, and they will talk about some moon landing, which if anybody knows or anybody listens to my show, I have never talked about a damn moon landing on my show, probably never will, because I could care less. I wasn't there. I probably will never be there on the moon, and I can't change it if it is true or isn't true. Only reason why I'm saying that is because I was talking to somebody on a message board somewhere, and I was talking about gold and silver and the 16th Amendment, and they went off to some moon landing conspiracy. And I'm like, what relevance does that have to gold and silver? Blah, 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 conspiracy this, conspiracy that. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're spitting off at the mouth, but one has nothing to do with the other. You in your own little world, you can say it can, but I'm talking about precious metals, which in his world or her world, they thought that if everybody had gold, the value would go down. No, it wouldn't. Actually, the value will go up because more people want it. That's what's going on with the markets now, and that's what's going on with gold right now. They're suppressing silver big time. I mean, big time. So, I mean, gold is going to really shoot up, but silver is going to just go straight out of control soon. I don't know when. I got some silver. Actually, I have more silver than gold, but silver is going to explode. I mean, it's going to explode like crazy. I would not be surprised if I woke up one morning and it's $200 for an ounce of silver. And it's going to climb. And along with gold, eventually. I wouldn't be surprised if I woke up one morning and we have $3,000 an ounce gold. and or $500 an ounce silver. It's going to get to that point. Because more people are going to seek it out once they see the dollars going to crash, therefore driving the price up. And J.P. Morgan, Stanley, Citigroup, Skank of America, all of those banks, they're suppressing the silver because they with their naked shortfalls. So they're playing around with the commodities markets with those with silver. That's why silver prices are not going up with gold. You're seeing silver fluctuate a couple of cents here and there, maybe a dollar here or there, but it's not exploding like it should be. So just be ready for that silver to explode, and don't sell it off. No matter what the markets do not sell your gold and silver, because that's what they want. They want to buy it back so they can totally implode, finish imploding. They got to finish imploding anyway, but, you know, we sell them back to gold and silver, and we don't have a leg to stand on, along with our guns. We can't turn our guns in, and we can't sell them back to gold and silver. That's a big no-no. If anybody wants to call in, the calling number is 347-324-3704. Once again, that calling number is 347-324-3704. Speaking about guns, it appears in the UK, I got a friend over there, too. I wish he's moving. I think he said today or tomorrow, sometime soon. He's over there in that London area. I wish he can call in, but he can't. He said he doesn't have a Skype up, and I wouldn't advise making a regular phone call because that's very expensive. I wish he can call in and give us his take on what's going on over there. But it appears bat sales. Sales of bats, Louisville Sluggers, whatever you want to call them, are skyrocketing over there. Guess what? Because they don't have any guns over there. That's what happens when you don't have any guns. See, the cops don't have any guns, which, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's bad when the citizens don't have guns, because then you're in a situation like you're over there, mobs of people looting and stuff. You know, this all gets started. I'm about to go through how I got started again for the people that don't know and don't understand what's going on. I don't know if these first two events that I'm about to get into that led up to these riots are orchestrated, but I truly, honestly believe the riots are orchestrated, and I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into that real soon. Okay, what is that article? Apparently, what's his name? Mr. Duggan? What's his name? I'm looking for the article here. Give me a second. I just had it up. He was shot and killed by the police there. And some riots followed. Or a protest followed. Because it was quite... Here's the article. This is out of the Independent. You can go look it up. A dead man. A crucial question. Should police have shot Mark Duggan? Okay. Now, initially, this is the incident that sparked, like what I'm about to say here, a peaceful protest. That's what sparked peaceful protest. The killing of Mark Duggan sparked a peaceful protest. It was peaceful. And see, people are not mentioning this. The protest started peaceful, and the real provocateurs are not even being targeted in this incident. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the cops that shot this guy. I'm talking about the provocateurs at the peaceful protest. And yeah, those cops, they shouldn't have shot him. They just, you know, they open up. Now there's, if you read that article, now there's evidence to show that the bullet that supposedly hit this cop was not even, was another cop's bullet. So, apparently there's some really suspect stuff going on. There's cameras out there filming the thing, but now they can't find any video evidence, of course, of what happened, because they're now saying, you know, he had a gun. Somebody was shooting from the cab the man was in, so they just opened up on the cab, blah, blah, blah. It could have been a cab driver. Who knows? Just really, really suspect information from the police, as usual. Just really suspect information. All of a sudden, they can't find the evidence. I mean, can't find the video evidence, you know, all this nonsense. And like I said, it was a peaceful protest. And here's the link I'm posting there from YouTube. This is at the peaceful protest now. A 16-year-old girl was beaten by some police. Those police at that protest were the provocateurs and this whole doggone thing. Now, they beat her. The people then retaliated on the police there. And then, of course, the riots and the looting ensued. People seizing the opportunity and started to riot and looting. And that whole, this whole thing is really suspect. And, like, they're saying it's youth. And, you know, there's all kind of other little stupid stories coming out. Flash mobs. And I was watching live feed on BBC yesterday where the cops were in an alley. Where people were coming up through an alley, mass people. Looked like they probably were some looters or whatever. And the police just backed down. They let them run through the alley. They literally backed off. This whole situation just stinks. It looks really suspect. And you know, they're talking about these youth, these kids, they're organizing on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, and they're text messaging each other. I'm like, that is the most ridiculous crap. If you believe that crap and you call me a nut, you believe that if you honestly believe that, you call me a nut. So you believe these group of kids is organizing on social networking sites and texting each other within the span of since Mr. Duggan got murdered, and that the peaceful protest, I think it was either Friday or Saturday, and the riots ensued Saturday night and up until last night, and you know, it might be some more tonight. So you mean they organized that quickly? And you know, and just going by sheer numbers, if you tell 100 people to meet you somewhere, you might only get about 20. And that's 20%. I mean, normally you only get 5%. You go by the 5% rule. If you know anything about marketing, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And you know what? I go to end of Fed rallies. It might be 300-400 people RSVP. You know how many people show up? Probably about 50. So how am I supposed to sit here and believe that these kids are organizing and orchestrating this stuff? When grown people can't even organize a rally. Well, I wouldn't even say it's their fault. It's just sheer numbers. Stuff comes up. People can't meet and can't do this stuff. And I'm supposed to believe on a flash, on a whim here, that these kids are getting these phone numbers on a social networking site and organizing. Get out of here. Kids don't do that. Organized gangs don't really do that. Yeah, you might see them, like, do a couple of carjackings, maybe do a smash and grab, but to this extent with these riots, organized riots, this stinks. They did the same thing in Egypt with Mubarak. Same thing with the texting, and was the story. They're texting, and that's how they're organizing. Seems like we're hearing similar situations here in the United States. Chicago, Iowa, with the flash mobs. Philadelphia, they have a curfew now. And you know what? They're so stupid. They're not all kids, especially up there in Philly. Majority of them are not. And you know, I'm supposed to sit here and believe that this is all done by social networking. All over, basically now what they're saying is all over the globe. It happened in Egypt, it happened in London, Philly, Chicago, Iowa. And then they turn it into this racially charged bullcrap. They throw that little junk in there just to peeve you off even more. To go out there and do something really racially charged. Like, people put these stupid comments on these message boards. Well, kill all the blackies. Kill all the brownies. Kill all the whiteies. You're so stupid. You're playing right into their hands. That's exactly what they want you to do. You don't understand the provocative nature of some of these comments and what they want you to do. And if anybody wants to call me a kook out there, last time I checked, that's what they did back in the 60s. It's the same brainwashing with the black people are inferior, or all Muslims are bomb-toting kamikazes. All black people are thieves. All white people are child molesters, and they go blow up buildings. Same conditioning, same programming, same agenda, just incite a race war. And, you know, there's some more articles I'm going to get into here, too, with people on these blogs. And, you know, I don't necessarily read the articles. Some of them I read, or some of the blogs I read, I more go look at the comments. That's where you really find out things. And some of them are agent provocateurs, and some of them are genuine, the way people feel. And that's the most disturbing part about it. Here's this article here. A blog, where this Catherine Berblasserin, I can't pronounce her name. You know, I butcher names all the time. I don't care, because she's sitting there promoting some racially charged crap, which is untrue, because I'm about to get into that in a minute. And there's video evidence showing it's not just black people in London doing the rioting and stealing and whatever. Anyway, she goes on here to say, the riots were about race. Why ignore the facts? They're going to Mr. Duggan's skin color. Yeah, he probably was black. I don't know. I don't know the man. I didn't know the man. But why is it got to be about skin color? Wrong is wrong. The man got killed, and there's questions to why he got killed. I don't care if you're black, white, or other. You know, everybody knows personally how I feel about police. I don't care if you're black, white, green, or yellow. If the police are harassing you, they're doing stuff they're not supposed to. It's a crime. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're violating your constitutional rights. And if for anybody that thinks they're free, because you can walk up and down the street, you can go get on, you can go get molested by the TSA and get on a stinking plane. If you think you're free, go up to the first cop you see and call them a stupid, worthless, blah blah blah. See where your freedom of speech gets you. If you come out here and say, "Oh well, you can't do that," well then you're not free then, are you? You don't have freedom of speech then, do you? So don't get on these rants here talking about you're a freak, how free you are because you can walk up and down the street. Yeah, go up to a cop and say something to him. Say anything to him. You know, you might lock you up. Obstruction of justice, that's what they call it. Anyway, she goes on here in this argument, spouting off junk, and I'm not the best person when it comes to grammar in the world. You know, personally, I personally can care less about grammar, and I don't normally point these things out because only anal retentive morons do that. I understand it, but you know, you be real anal when you're like the grammar police, and you're like the IRS, cross every T, dot every I. But if you're doing a blog, yeah, then I might say something about it. If I'm doing a blog, I might correct my grammar a little more. But if you look at the first sentence, which says, "What color is Mark Duggan?" She spelled color, C-O-L-O-U-R. I guess that's something they might do over there in Europe. Like I said, I'm not the best person in the world when it comes to grammar, because personally, I can care less about it. I'm not writing a paper. If I'm writing a paper, or if I'm doing a blog, I might care about it, but really don't. But I just have to point that out while she's going on her race rant. And like I said, this is the Telegraph. That's the name of it. Her name is Catherine Birblasingh. But more than just the article, read some of the comments. The comments are just disturbing. One person even said, if he, you know, every black person he sees, you know, he's going to tote his pistol with him and be real suspicious of him. I'm like, yeah, so the first white person that wants to rob you is going to clock you over the head because you wasn't on guard, stupid. You were looking for the black people, dummy. Yeah, that's what that racially charged stuff gets you. You let your guard down. I mean, if I'm going to have my guard up, I'm going to be suspect of everybody. I'm not going to narrow it down to race. I'm going to be suspect of everybody. But it looks like I'm at the halfway point here. I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to get into this other article. I'm glad it's a video clip of it where it shows more than just black people are involved in this. Contrary to Miss, what's her name, Catherine's assessment of the situation. But I'm going to get into that after this break. You're listening to the Dyer's Cast with Mind Over, and I will be right back.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high-quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomite.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And welcome back. You are listening to Mind Over the Dias Cast. We Are Change Austin will be coming up at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for them. We Are Change Austin will be coming up at the top of the hour. And during the break, I had a caller. I'm joined by Mr. Salahuddin. He's called in before. So I'm going to give you the floor. You had a question or a comment?
I'm glad you brought up the topic about the riots and I was in England and to kind of make a parallel between what's happening in overseas in London and with the Black and West Indian community in London and what's happened and what hasn't happened here in the United States. Again, as you pointed out, the police force and. I always wondered why anybody who's wondered, like, I know that you're a critical thinker and you're very analytic and you like to think out of the box. And I wonder if many Americans have wondered why we have so many shows glorifying the police force and detectives. And
yeah. You know, they're the good guys.
Yeah, they're the good guys. You know, they're above reproach. And I was reading a book, called, you know, the prison industrial complex about, you know, in New York City, that how much money the city pays out as compensation to people who, the millions of dollars that have been being paid out to people who have been victims of police brutality and excessive force.
I can attest to that because I was born and raised in New York and I used to see that stuff growing up all the time. You see it all the time. But because you're Black and you live in a not so good neighborhood, you say anything about the cops, it's your word against theirs.
And of course, you know, we have no credibility in this society. So.
Oh, of course, because the first thing they'll do is pin a damn gun to you and come up with all these felonies when you're dead now. You know, pin some drugs and some guns on you and. Then these yuppies will suck that up and say, oh, boy, he had a gun. Well, anybody can say you had a gun, you dummy.
Anybody.
I mean, oh, just because they're the cops, that makes it true. Like cops can't lie. They cannot lie.
and what really hurts is that I think what for me is poignant is that these are people who come from our communities who have become a part of capitulating and become a part of the system. And instead of changing the system, the assumption was that we had more Black and non-white people who were in, who got into these positions in the police force and positions of authority where they could make a difference. They didn't transform the system. The system transformed them. Or perhaps they already had these attitudes before they became a part of the system.
Well, they've been brainwashed, for one. They've been taught that we're enemy combatants and we want to kill them, for one. Two, some of them are already on a power trip anyway because they were disregarded by society or cast off in high school. Who knows? They probably got their head flushed down a toilet or something. Then, they get on this power trip. You know what? And to be perfectly honest with you, I've been treated worse by Black cops than white cops.
Oh, yeah.
Honest with you. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the psychology. I remember the film, what is it? You remember the movie by Singleton? Menace to Society. No,
yeah.
Boys in the Hood. You know,
Boys in the Hood, yeah.
Had the scene where the Black police officer was accosted, you know, the main protagonist in the film, and he was more abusive towards, and I've had the similar experience, more abusive towards the black people than were the white police officers. And it has a lot to do with self-hatred, and it has a lot to, but again, I don't make excuses for them, but it is a part of the socialization process within a society where people are being oppressed. They begin to, we're trained from the day we're born to identify with the oppressor.
Right.
You know, so again, I mean, it's not, I don't necessarily, I mean, the system, I know Dr. Amos Wilson, who wrote the, you know, Blueprint for Black Power, spoke, and he was, you know, a professor of psychology, and he worked as within the criminal justice system. He talked about the society as being a crimogenic society. And again, to connect the dots with what's happening with black people in England, and also I know black immigrants in France. So, but again, within the context of the United States, we have so much factionalism, and I know I spoke with you before about immigration. This is not an issue of race. This is an issue of creating a situation where you have so many competing factions that the people find it almost impossible to coalesce. And that's what one of the results, reasoning behind the massive immigration since the 1960s, was that, you know, what preceded that? What preceded that was, you know, we had the civil rights movement. We had a strong movement of unionization, and labor was very strong in this country. And
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, another thing going back to that civil rights thing, people don't realize the brainwashing that's going on right now. Just like in the 60s, 50s, the brainwashing, the blacks are taking your jobs.
Exactly.
What are they saying? What are they saying these days? Those damn Mexicans, they're taking your jobs.
Well,
it's the same conditioning.
Well, there is. It's not the, again, it's not. I wouldn't blame the conditions under which the people are. I know there was a black mayor of. He was running. I forget his name, but he was running for mayor of Washington D.C. There is validity to. The massive immigration, which not only is it economic, it's what the purpose of it drives down away. It's not about blaming them per se, but it's about the policies and the worldwide conditions that precipitate this. And also, you know, it's why are they being brought here by the ruling class and the powers that be. Why is this massive immigration being perpetrated worldwide? In those cultures and societies that don't have massive immigration, such as China, Japan, and those other countries, you know, they seem to be, in terms of their culture, they seem to be making much more progress in the world, aside from the Western society, to promoting massive immigration. We have to distinguish what is racist and what is not. What is bigotry, what's not rational, and what is. We're talking about logistics. We are talking about a society. And so, as you said, Asian provocateurs, perhaps the immigration phenomenon is creating a somewhat valid, I forget his name. There was a black, he was the head of the Urban League. I forget his name, but he's the head of the Urban League in Miami. And he was talking about how immigration undermined the economic viability of the black people in Florida. So it's not about hating them; it's why the people were introduced.
I'm not saying it's for hate.
Let me give an example. The book written by Chancellor Williams, "The Destruction of Black Civilization." He talks about how the Europeans, that they would introduce a buffer class. They did it to undermine the native population. They did it by bringing people from India into South Africa. They did it the same thing, the British, by bringing Indians into the Caribbean to undermine the black slaves. So, I mean, you have problems now between the native, the Indian population and the black population, you know, in Guyana and in Trinidad. So, no, these are valid issues, but, you know, the reasoning behind it, it's not simplistic to say, you know, we have competing factions in America, and the black population is being undermined by other ethnic groups who are competing with limited resources and limited jobs for us. After we had fought for, you know, for the civil rights movement, other groups of people, even white women, who benefited more than any of them. We fought for it, but other people are benefiting from what we fought for. You see, other people who didn't really have an interest in the United States before the 1960s.
But so, look, so those jobs, though, the average Mexican is working. Most black people don't want to work those jobs.
We live in New York City. There are people who are getting excellent jobs, to doctors, who are nurses. I'm not talking about those jobs. I'm not talking about illegal immigrants to impoverish people. We don't want those jobs anyway. But not just that. Those jobs that they're taking, that the unions were agitating and demonstrating and getting leverage to get people paid more money for doing those kind of jobs. And again, I'm not talking about them per se. They're doing it out of expediency. They're compelled to do what they're doing. I'm saying that being introduced into the society, this is at the behest of the corporate interests. They want them here. The best thing,
of course, yeah, that's why the borders are wide open.
The best thing we can do for people from Mexico is to help them establish a viable system within their own country so they don't have to come here.
That won't happen because the CIA is running weapons there.
That's what needs to happen, but because by bringing immigrants into this country or bringing immigrants into even the black people in South Africa, there's an influx of immigrants from the surrounding nations in South Africa, and the black people who are natives to South Africa, the Zulus and what have you, you know, they have conflict between with the people who are now this massive influx of immigrants because the economy of South Africa is better than the surrounding nations such as Zambia and Angola and so forth into those countries. So this is reality. It's not about race.
I know it's not about race, but I'm trying to tell where they're pointing the finger at.
That's the point. As you said, the same problem with the Tea Party. The Tea Party, they have legitimate concerns, but as you said, they're blaming blacks.
Oh yeah, the mudslinging. I knew the mudslinging was going to go on this week after the S&P downgrade. The markets crashed Monday. They're crashing again today. The correction, I don't know if you was listening, but the correction in the markets yesterday is because the Fed is buying their own debt. They're buying their own bonds.
But, you know, I hear what you're saying. Again, the economy and what the policies, we're paying for the policies of the ruling class, which is, you know, which the government is an instrument of. But again, as I said, I live in New York City. And, you know, immigration has completely undermined the black community. And we have been the black people in this country who have, descendants of black slaves have been discriminated against in favor of the other immigrants. I mean, again, Dr. Chance Williams has spoken about it. Dr. Amos Wilson has spoken about it. What's happening is that usually, I'm not talking about the impoverished people who come here. I'm talking about people who come here who are getting jobs. You know, that doctors, lawyers, I mean, most of the people in my community, the people who own most of the businesses are immigrants. You know, and you know, small business loans and so forth didn't go to the black American. They went to people from other communities who are, you know, we talk about in the black community, it's well known that 95% of our dollar is going out of our community, and this is one of the reasons why. And it's not because we're stupid or there's anything inherently wrong with us. The structure of this society is maintaining oppression, and many of the immigrants who come to this society as petty bourgeois are collaborating with the white supremacist system to keep us as an underclass. That's the reality.
They've been known
that's
to.
That's the reality. So I'm just saying that
they
want
to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, they want to kill most of us off, but they really want to suppress black people. I mean, you can see it in Africa.
Yeah,
inoculations.
The so-called leadership of the black community is not addressing this reality. And that, again, we talk about colored people. Colored people, you go into other areas that the Asians, many Asian Chinese, they're living quite well with the white community. What the problem with American culture is there is a pathological hatred of the black American. You know, there's a pathological. We know that there's misogyny and irrational hatred of women. We talk about homophobia, but there is no discussion of the irrational hatred of the black American who has contributed, you know, so much to the society. We overlook slavery. That's hundreds of years of free slave labor to help to build the society. It was seminal. And we talk about the contributions of the Chinese building, you know, thanking them for building the railroads. What about the black American who we did much more than that? I mean, I'm being very frank. We did much more than that. And then we suffered 100 years of terrorism and segregation. We look at South Africa and the blacks in South Africa. We bemoan their plight of just having experienced apartheid. Not only do we experience apartheid, but we experience slavery. We experience so much in this country, which is the greatest country on earth, the most powerful country on earth, has chosen to marginalize and destroy the black American people. You know, I have family members who fought in World War II, Vietnam. I was in the military. And they were, you know, while we were being discriminated against here, their fellow white soldiers were telling the people in China, you know, in Vietnam and in Asia and Japan that we had tails. And we were fighting, you know what I mean? So, I mean, think of that. Think of the cruelty. Think of the what's embedded in this country towards black Americans.
I get that.
So I'm saying we even though they're not discussing it in the media, this is not racism. This racism is prejudice plus power. We're responding as just as dark as hell. I was watching on YouTube, dark as hell, West Indian talking about the reason, giving the reason, as you said, what's the reason for the riots? It's because it's an uprising, so the discrimination and oppression. Well, you know, bottom line is that those people who came from the West Indies went through England willingly. We did not come here. Well, we're the only group of people who were brought here against our own will. Even the Native Americans fought on the side of the Confederacy during, you know, I told you before that it's well known that, you know, the so-called five civilized tribes, you know, they were called that by the white community because the whites had assumed the white identity, that they were dressed as the white people, and they all had slaves, you know. We have. There's nothing wrong with us advocating on our behalf. Every group of people is advocating for their people, for their economy. They have dual citizenship. We're stuck here. We don't have dual citizenship. We don't have, you know.
I mean, look. I'm not going to blame all that on the establishment. Some of that is our own fault, being not doing what we need to do.
I think that anybody who says that is not looking at the reality. Is not astute in what black Americans have been doing and have continued.
I'm a student.
So I'm not going to put you down, but I'm saying, you know, if you look, again, I mean, there are many, many organizations, Carl Dix, you know, there are many organizations in our community.
And you also have to look at the fact that a lot of our quote-unquote black leaders are nothing but agent provocateurs for their own agenda right now.
Well, we can say that about many other communities.
A lot of these other communities have people that stand up.
Right, brother, I'm not making kids. We have no sovereignty. You can't compare us with China, where they have a nation. You can't compare us even with black
people. I mean, white people have no sovereignty over either. I mean, they're oppressing everybody.
That isn't true. Their sovereignty is this nation. That's not true. Their sovereignty is this nation.
They're being oppressed.
There may be factions in the black world. Why are you arguing against putting black people down? You might as well.
I'm not arguing against putting black people down, but
you might as well say that we're genetically inferior to other groups.
I'm not saying we're genetically inferior to other groups. I said everybody's being oppressed equally. I'm not going to go with one group being oppressed.
No, we're not being oppressed equally, brother. We're not.
Okay.
You can say, ask Cornel West, ask Carl Dix, ask Amos Wilson. We're not being oppressed equally. That isn't true.
We're
an underclass of people.
I don't know if you know the agenda, but they want
culture as being a scapegoat and being the underclass. We're not being oppressed equally. That's not true.
Okay. They want 80% of us dead, and that would include a lot more than just black people. So
as I said before, Carl Dix and many, many other black intellectuals, Cornel West, they acknowledge we are not being I met Charles Barron, who is a city councilman in New York City. I met him. I taught a social policy class at a SUNY school in Best Buy, Brooklyn. And I asked him to come.
Okay,
let me ask you this. Yeah.
How many black people do you know that has a college degree right now? Black men.
Brother, you need to, if you're going by your personal experience and your impression.
I'm not going by my personal experience.
You're asking me a question about how many people you know. I know many people. Then you're talking about your own personal experience and your subjective experience, and it, you know, in all honesty,
I'm not talking about my own personal experience.
No,
I'm
you
talking
just
about,
me about my personal experience. How many people I know? That's my personal experience. If you want to ask me about education, I can.
How
get
many?
You
okay.
Let me give you an example. We have 105 traditionally black colleges in the United States. Okay. Well, we
what does it matter
people.
If black or white?
That's what I'm saying. You ask me a question. I'm giving you facts. You asked me initially about my subjective experience. How many black people do I know? Maybe if you're talking about your subjective experience, maybe you need to meet other people who are better educated. But that's not my experience. My experience is I meet many black people. I just told you. I was towards an adjunct college instructor at the SUNY University, the SUNY school in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I have several degrees. I'm a licensed social worker. My circle of friends are not ignorant people. You know, I mean, if you're talking about your son, and you may not believe me, you don't know me, that's whatever. It's your choice to believe me or not. That's not my experience. That is not my experience. I mean, I suggest that you listen to it, maybe listen to some of the lectures of LeGrand.
I'm not going to go for that.
I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying that
well,
I hear
I'm not
you,
saying you
I
are.
Hear,
what I'm saying is I'm not going
to
go for that black
who
is me.
Not really astute and not informed about what's really going on in the black community.
Not informed.
On the black
but,
community.
But
not,
this
I'm
stuff happens
saying,
to me all the
not,
time.
If you're making statements that we're, first of all, that's a completely wrong statement, that we're
what?
Not being, we're being oppressed equally. We're not being oppressed equally. The black community is the
yeah,
target
yeah,
of
we have,
of
yeah, we have the first black president, or which, whatever
well, what
you want to call
him. He's not a black president. He was chosen
whatever
by
you
want to
call him. I know and black people are following
him. Let me say this.
Why would black people follow him?
There's a journalist named Glenn Ford, and as I said, Cornell West, you shouldn't be listening to some of the commentary. It benefits you to listen to some of the commentary of some of the black intellectuals.
I'm not
going
to listen to racist. I'm not listening to racist.
On the floor and the masses of people that you meet on the street, and perhaps your prejudice, your inherent prejudice against black people.
Who's prejudice
against
that? Oh, my God. Don't start that. Don't start that. Enough of that. Jesus.
No, I'm telling you. I'm giving you my time of sharing with you, and I called you because I assumed that you were an insightful person, was open-minded, who had some understanding of what's really going on. But
I do have an understanding of what's going on.
We're being oppressed. I suggest you speak to Charles Barron, who was very – I suspect you try to maybe listen to
– I don't need to speak to any of those people. I can look out the window.
I suggest you read some books by Chancellor Williams.
I don't need
Grand
to. Well, I don't.
I'm not even sure if you know of these people.
I know of all those people you're talking about.
If you know of these people and you've read of them, I don't know if you've read their books, but if you had, for you to make a statement like that is illustrative that you really aren't very astute in what's going on. For you
oh,
to make
really?
A statement
okay.
like that, Charles Barron, even Cornell West would need to say.
I'm sorry. I don't go for race.
You're not doing yourself nor the society.
I have,
the society at
I'm
large.
Off, I have
by making
minutes.
Statements that are not accurate, particularly
two
about a community
two
that you supposedly hail from. You're not making.
Two
you're not making. He's not making a rational statement based
two
on it. You assume that you.
Okay, he wouldn't shut up. I'm telling him I have 2 minutes left. I've heard of all those people he talked about. I don't go for racist propaganda, whether it's black, white, or any other. I mean, I would let him finish, but he would not. My show is about to be over with. I told him I had 2 minutes left. We Are Change Austin is coming up next. We Are Change Austin is coming up next. And I'm going to play a little Flowbots here on the way out. If I can find my music. Where is it? Oh, there it is.
Stand up. We shall not be moved except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you got more to give, then you got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you got more to give, then you got to prove. Put your hands up and I'll copy you. We still don't understand. Thunder and lightning flash back to when we didn't fund the dam. Didn't fund the dam levy? No wonder, man. Now a whole damn city's torn asunder, man. Underwater, but we still don't understand. We see hurricane spills overrun the land through gaps you couldn't fill with 100 tons of sand. No, we still don't understand. We've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. We've seen flames sending chills to London. And we've sent planes to kill them. And some of them are children. system, but still be trouble in the building. Underfunded, but we still don't understand. Under God, but we kill like the son of Sam. But if you feel like I feel about the son of man, we will overcome. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. And stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. Except by a woman dying from a loss of food. Except by a freedom fighter bleeding on a cross for you. We shall not be moved, except by a system that's rotten through. Neglecting the victims and ordering the cops to shoot. High treason, now we need a prosecute. So stand up. We shall not be moved, and we won't fight a war for a fossil fuel. Times like this, if you want to plot a coup, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, unless we're taking a route we have not pursued. So if you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said, put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got a dream and a lot to do, put your hands up. Now shake, shake, a Polaroid screen. Nightmare negatives develop on the screen. We sit back and wait for the government team. Criticize they, but who the fuck are we? The people want peace, but the leaders want war. Neighbors don't speak peace through the front door. House representatives, please stay the course.
Time for relief of faith.
Once more, put your hands up high if you haven't abandoned. Hope that the pen stroke's stronger than the cannon. Balls to the wall, nose to the grindstone.
My interrogation techniques leave your mind blown.
Place your bets, let the people to the enemy. Don't let them pretend that we seek the blood. And who's we anyway, Kimosabe? Mighty warlord, wannabe street thug. A threat for a threat leaves the whole world terrified. Blow for blow never settles the score. Word for word, it's time we clarify. We the people did not want war.
America, there is a sense of urgency. I'm sorry to report why you slept, there was an emergency. Your government has been hijacked by neoliberal, neoconservative, one party criminal. And now the plan is Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. I am not a happy man, and this is pseudo republic for which I stand. I put my left hand on the Bible and I raise my right hand and say it. To the Constitution of these United States, it's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided debate. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. Cause this is to the Constitution of the United States. It's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided faith. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. It's the storm of the century. So while I'm running through the woods and dodging bullets, warm in December 3 years ago, I remember better days. But now it's raining fire, third to fourth, spend on set of blades. And now they telling me I need to put a chip on my ID. So so they can track my every move by radio frequency. And if I don't comply, I run the risk of immediately inconveniencing all of the people being obedient. See, they say if you ain't with us, you against us. You better just go on ahead and fall in line with what this message presents us. It's a consensus, but wait, let's just look at it closer. Who stands to benefit the most from having a chip on your shoulder? I say it to the Constitution of these United States. It's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided debate. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. Cause this is to the Constitution of these United States. It's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided fate. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. Every demon's an agent, every corner I turn I see another demon waiting where we formerly were. And I'm in a world where nothing is ever as though it seems. I'm constantly under pressure, I've got to be on my feet. So I could walk through the valley called the shadow of death and talk to the valley lost despite our shadow of death. So I could walk through the valley called the shadow of death and talk to the valley lost and tell them, good morning America, there is a sense of urgency. I'm sorry to report, while you slept there was an emergency. Your government has been hijacked by neoliberal, neoconservative, one party criminal. And now their plan is Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. I am not a happy man, and this is to the republic for which I stand. I put my left hand on the Bible and I raise my right hand and say it to the Constitution of these United States. It's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided fate. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. Cause this is to the Constitution of these United States. It's to you I am loyal, there's no two-sided fate. And to the Bill of Rights, you know it's you I embrace. And it is for you I will fight until it's my dying day. So I can walk through the valley called the shadow of death and talk to the valley lost despite our shadows of death. So I can walk through the valley called the shadow of death and talk to the valley lost.
What is going on, changers, freedomizers, human resources, and slaves? What is going on out there in the world of the internets? This is Nathan, True Talk Radio. We are Change Austin. Wednesday, Hump the American Dream Day. And what do we know about the new American Dream? It's just getting by. So August 10th, 2011. And, I'm here solo now, but I expect to see somebody pop in at some point in time, and...
I'm here with you for a minute.
Hey, right on. Well, I'll tell you what, you may want to listen, at least listen later on the show, you may even want to call back in, but we're going to have Heather Fazio on later from Texans for Accountable Government.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and she's going to come on, and we're, going to be able to ask her some questions. I know she was on... that first week or so we were on the air, but we had Cost on. I know she was trying to pick Cost's mind. But, Wednesday. We're halfway to the weekend, mind over. How's that make you feel?
It makes me feel just like a great human resource slave.
Right.
I don't really have a 9-to-5 like you. I kind of make ends meet doing odd jobs.
Right. All right. Well, I kind of do the same. I try not to. I'm trying to get away from the job thing and do work. Work.
Yeah, work for yourself.
Work for myself. Work for my brothers. Work for whatever cause that I feel like I'm getting as much out as I'm putting in. Because you go to a job and the whole goal of a job is for them to squeeze as much out of you and put in as little as possible. So, that's your difference between a job and work. Work, you feel, after you do a day's work, you feel good about it. After you do a day's job, you come home and you feel grumpy and want to bite everybody's head off because you just got butt raped. But, so yeah. Into the show here, and we get other folks on and other people talking. I just would like to send out a very, very, very happy birthday to my little itty bitty baby sister. She's 20 years old, so it's hard for me to say little itty bitty baby anymore, but she always will be. But
almost
happy
legal
birthday, Leah. Yeah. Oh, no. Dude.
I had to throw that in
there. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm telling you. Well, my daughter's going to be 13 in October, so.
Oh.
Gosh. So, yeah, I got a 20-year-old little sister and a 13-year-old daughter. It's, yeah.
Are you watching CNN or any mainstream, lamestream?
No, I'm not plugged into the cable networks. Now, I do have CNN up on the other screen of this computer over here that I'm kind of keeping track of.
Yeah, the markets are plunging again, and apparently they got 9 members of the Super Congress chosen already.
Are they assembling the Super Congress? Speaking of which, I thought I seen Nico pop on. Do we have it called in yet?
He's not on the switchboard.
Huh. Well, he should be calling.
When he comes on, trust me, I'll let you know.
Yeah, right on. He's our Super Congress expert, so we will.
Yeah,
he
was talking about that stuff weeks before it came out.
I'm telling you, Nico Damas. That's why he got that nickname. There's nothing I'd like to see more than the whole thing crash. I'd love to see it just bottom out and be done with. But
I was talking about that with my friend on Facebook yesterday. I'm just like, I'm waiting for this. I want it to implode right now. I don't care. I got my Sylvan food.
I
want to start rebuilding.
I don't have a lick of silver or food, but I have a whole lot of skills and a friendly disposition to where I got a feeling I'm not going to have a problem eating. And the people around me are not going to have a problem with any situation. So that's. I don't know. We'll see how it all works out, but it's not gonna crumble. Do you feel like a yo-yo? Because that's exactly what
that's
we are.
Not, you know, I don't want it to crash to see people suffer, but yeah, I feel like a freaking yo-yo here. I'm like, they keep throwing it out there, dangling it out there, and eventually that string.
Well, they throw you out there, they reel you back in, they throw you out there, they reel you back in, they throw you out there, they reel you back in, and then they do some little trick to make everybody go, ooh. And then they throw you back down and reel you back up. So, yeah, that's what this economy thing's all about. And I can tell you right now, just looking around Austin, the sponge is still moist for sure. They can still squeeze some liquid out of the sponge. And until that there's not another drop that they can squeeze out, then they're gonna keep squeezing. Is that you?
You can hear me?
Yeah, well, I thought I heard a squirrel.
Squirrel!
But it's you.
Okay.
You got like a microphone that you move, don't you?
I move it every now and then just so that it's closer to my mouth, you know. But it's,
well, yeah, that's all. It's always good. Well, I just know I can always hear there's a sound like a, you know, rodents in the wall or something. Whenever you do that. Not saying don't do it. Shit, I play squirrel sounds and Hot Pockets and all that kind of stuff. We're all entitled to our sound effects. So how are you doing, Human Resource, on this Wednesday Hump the American Dream Day?
Honestly, for the past week, I haven't really been sleeping, I guess because of, you know, the Super Congress and, like, you know... You know, just like this, between the summer heat and the Super Congress, it's just like, God, got to do something, you know, really need to, you know, it bothers me. So, you know, it's just like, what can I do, you know? And I'm just trying to rack my brain on the various things that can be done. You know?
Right. Mind over, we were just talking before you came on about the Super Congress and how you were all...
They're starting to name the names on who they want. They're developing their pick list on who they want in the committee.
Oh, it's like the baseball or football draft.
Yes, basically.
Right. Now it's starting asshole LeBron James. So, I don't know. That's pretty wild. What's new about that? Do you have any updates on our Super Congress other than they're just right now trying to pick teams?
Just that the official name of it is, I believe, the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. That's what the name of it is inside the bill that was passed.
Lovely. Just remember, the new American dream is just getting by, so as long as we keep that in mind, everything will be just peachy. But yeah, Heather Fazio is going to be joining us probably in the last hour sometime.
Awesome.
Yep, I haven't heard from Mallory at all today. I think we should activate SMART and have somebody check on her just in case the NSA may have snatched her up. But
we've already talked about SMART.
And we talked about it a little bit. What show was it? I don't know. I start losing track. But I went and listened to John and Chef Dahl's presentation, and I've talked about it the next day. I think it's going to be something pretty intense, as John so eloquently named it, some next level shit. So I think he's right.
I remember being there when he was talking about it in like the pre-stages of like giving it a name, and he was just basically saying, you know, just a basic idea, tell the cops to go home, you know, tell them we're armed, we're protecting the neighborhood, we're basically neighborhood watch, you know, with our own equipment.
Right. Well, and it's not just that, it's also as far as if you get pulled over and you're an activist, one phone call is going to set off alarms and get everybody in the area that can get to you with video cameras in your area with the video cameras. It's also going to be a way of getting bailed out of jail if you don't want to sit there, or it's a way of rallying the tribe in case of one of the members of our tribe gets put into a situation that they could use our help. I just remember sitting there listening to his presentation, thinking of a few personal experiences over the past 5 years that really would have came in handy. Yeah.
Is that going to be a We Are Change thing with that, were you talking about?
I think
SMART?
It's just
it's separate entity. It's one of these wonderful things that, about Austin
it's supposed to be meant for the community, so it's
that's
not
great. I love that. I would love to have something like that where I'm at.
Well, yeah. Work on it. You can't get it going. You already talked about coming to Austin. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's going to be subscription based, and like I said, people will pay into it, and that will it's like an insurance policy almost. You know, I don't know. It's a pretty good idea. It's definitely in its infancy stages. So
me and the We Are Change group in my area don't like my viewpoints on cops. So
they
but
whoa,
what
is that?
Mallory's on the line.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I'm waiting for some kind of acknowledgement before. I thought I was on mute. It's a good thing I
there
was.
You are.
I thought you were testing out your drum set there for a minute.
Nope.
Was that? Okay.
No, that was a class.
Wow. Yeah. That's all right. See, everybody's bringing their sound effects today.
That's right. Can I have your attention, please? Ting, ting, ting.
So, wait a minute. So, just to get back, I want to hear Mind Over finish up. You said that you yourself and the We Are Change there in Atlanta don't exactly share your viewpoint on cops.
Well, I'm pretty sure your We Are Change group wouldn't like this either, because I use some slurs against them sometimes. You know,
what do you mean? You hear our We Are Change group 3 days a week, and you hear Jared. Look.
Let me be fair.
Have you checked
out
that video with Jared?
Yeah, let Mallory be fair.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and say, I understand that everyone has a heated and honestly, obviously negative stigma associated with police enforcement. I'm going to admit that I do as well. Still, though, We Are Change is not here to slander or badmouth anyone. If you feel the need to speak poorly about somebody, please do it as an individual and not on behalf of We Are Change, because we have to maintain the integrity of the cause.
Right, right.
Change for the positive. We are not here to shed a negative light back on ourselves just because we can't temper our own passion, if you will.
Right. Well, to elaborate on that, Mallory, you hit the nail on the head. But also, We Are Change is, as a group is comprised of individuals. And I think us here in Austin are very, very, you know, top-notch when it comes to respecting each other's sense.
Respecting each other's individuality, is that what you said?
Yeah, respecting each other's in.
We're not really the type of group that has, like, a leadership thing. It's like other groups, you know, like, they'll, like, really toe the line, you know, like, they'll have somebody that, like, commands people. We kind of just, like, go with the flow with whatever people want to do.
Yeah, we've got organizers that'll put groups together, but, yeah, it's just a matter of being you as a person and taking it upon yourself and taking the initiative. You know, that's what we all do. We'll find a reason to get together, and we'll call her out to the whole group and be like, hey, there's this going on, we need to assemble, and most times we'll assemble, because what's important to one is important to all. That's what we try to do is a support system as well.
Yeah,
Well, I don't necessarily agree with, I don't call police pigs myself.
Right, right.
I don't necessarily agree with it. But, I mean, in public. No.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in public.
No, I'm... You know what I mean? We're doing it in public now. That's the joke. That was the joke. I just didn't kind of go over the way I thought it was in my head. But just because we may not agree, I support Jared. You know what I mean? I support Jared. And what's the saying? I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will go to my death ensuring that you continue. Or not continue to have the fight, but no one infringes on your right.
And as long as no one is
imposing or being aggressive actually with somebody else, I firmly believe we all deserve a rant. And that's one of the things about this radio show. Yeah, we do got to be careful. Public, who knows who's listening? You know, but we got to be careful with, you know, what we say and how it can be misconstrued by the listeners. But at the same time, I like to think that we're putting ourselves out there enough where our regular listeners are going to get to know who we are, and we're going to leave enough of our personalities behind that if anybody ever was to take anything out of context or misconstrue something that one of us may say on this show, be it Mind Over or be it Jared or be it myself. Trust me, what was my crude Casey Anthony's Trump joke, you know? So we're all going to, you know, have things that we're going to say that somebody else could take offense to. But, you know, I think we all have enough respect for each other that we understand that we're individuals, and then us as individuals have enough that, you know, when we are, because this is a funny outlet here, because we are representing We Are Change Austin, not only as a group, but we're also representing We Are Change as a whole, not just as a worldwide group, but as an idea.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, we are representing that, but at the same time, would this be a We Are Change show if we didn't go from the heart, yo? So, that's what I got to say about that.
You know? Well, and I really like that quote that you used, too, Nathan, to go ahead and be precise about it. It's, while I may not agree with what you have to say, I will defend to my death your right to say it. And I'm a firm believer of that, which is why, you know, you get these assholes like the Westboro Baptist Church and everything going out and doing the stupid. I mean, for crying out loud, they're going out to Norway to protest the Norway shooting, saying that the shooter, I can't remember his name now, they're saying that he was a tool of God, if you will. He was working, he was doing God's work. So when you get folks like that out there, I really have to bite my tongue, because sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. And Gandhi also said that I will never let anyone hurt me without my permission. So if we're going to go ahead and quote, whoa, got some kind of serious feedback going on there, I'm hearing.
Really?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's harp at again. But yeah, so it's a matter of, you know, yeah, words are powerful, but they're only as powerful as you allow them to be, and it's your intention behind the words really that matters most. So if you intend to be, you know, upright and honest and respectful and diplomatic and putting yourself in the higher cause, the higher purpose, then you're going to win no matter what. Now, when you drop into that selfish attitude where you've just got to go ahead and spout off and be a belligerent douchebag and not really care about what you're saying has any impact on others, then, yeah, you're going to crash and burn at some point because that kind of self-absorption gets you in trouble.
Right.
That goes for everybody, no matter who you're talking to.
Well, I think the important thing, I think what I would like to get through on what I said is mainly that we are change. We're a group of people. We're a group of individuals, but we have respect for each other, and we operate as a group. There are no lone wolves here.
Yep.
None. No lone wolves.
But at the same time, we are individuals. It's kind of funny. We seem to toe the line between individuals and operating as a group and functioning as an organization and as a whole as one. But we do try to maintain our own individuality by taking accountability back on us. Whatever we do, whenever we're working out in the public and we coming across policemen, other people of authority, we are acting on behalf of ourselves. We are there representing ourselves as people, as a person.
Right.
That's really all we should be out there for. It's us representing the people, because that's what we are. We're people. We're the people in this community that are being governed in response to all of this. So that's just my 20 cents on it.
Hey, well, you know, that's fire. Whoever was getting ready to talk.
I was going to say, like, other groups, other activist groups, they may, like, say, okay, if you're not in line with this, that, and the other on ideology, you know, you're out of this group, and in addition to that, we're going to try to get everybody who's involved with us to, you know, viciously make sure that you're not involved in any type of activist actions that we're at. And in deals that we're not really like that. We're not that hardcore with, like, hating on each other. You know, I mean, yeah, there is infighting in the Patriot movement sometimes, but we don't, like, you know, like, we don't try to, because we are lovers of liberty, we don't try to condition other people's behavior on, you know, we don't try to get them to think a certain way. We understand that everybody has differences and all that, and we just try to come together and do the same thing, and at the same time have respect for each other is, I guess, what I was wanting to say about that. That's how I would say that our group is.
Well, we got to be uniters. We have to be uniters and not dividers. I mean, our ultimate goal here is, as any We Are Change chapter, if you buy into that ideology of being the change that you wish to see in the world, then I don't know. You know, we've got to be uniters. If we're not individuals and give our individual selves to each other, then that's not uniting. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, that's why, as a book on this radio show, as I am, if any one of you guys come over to my house, Mallory, you and I have hung out together. You know what I mean? I try to, you know, if I'm going to devote time, whether it's to you as an individual, to We Are Change as a group of people, to any work that I might do, all the way to this radio show, you know, I don't see any point in doing it unless I'm giving myself to it, you know. So I think that's one of the things that, like I said, that why Austin seems to be the tip of the spear when it comes to all this, because we've got a large group of people that all seem to think like that.
Sure.
Something about Austin, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And, you know, I've said it before, there's something in the water besides fluoride here. But
yeah. It attracts 100%, the lovers.
It attracts free thinkers, is what it attracts.
Wow, that's a little loud. And oppressors, unfortunately.
Right. I was going to play us a little music, try to get us to a commercial here, but that was a little wild. So maybe I have to retweet that idea. But, yeah, let's do a commercial break and come back, and we can either still talk about this or get into another topic. But it's Wednesday, August 10th, 2011, True Talk Radio. We are Change Austin. We'll check you guys after this break.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it. You are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait,
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Where freedomizers freedomize freedom, and squirrels be squirreling, and lone wolves be howling, and
hot pockets,
you know how that
be
goes.
Pocketing.
Hot pockets be hot pocketing. Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah. So what were we talking about before? What were we talking about for the break? We get into these intense discussions during the breaks, and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we talking about just to close it out?
Talking about before the break.
Yeah, okay. Before the break. That's what I'm saying. We get into these intense. We get into these intense conversations.
You were talking about the We Are Change chapters and freedoms, liberties, and all that stuff.
Oh,
like,
yes,
with
yeah. We've covered that.
So, yeah, just to close. Yeah, well, we did. But I just wanted, you know, to close it out. I just wanted to say that, you know, I think that's the key. As far as I'm concerned, the key is just being accepting of, you know, individuals. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to make your household run better. It's going to make your We Are Change household run better. It's going to make, if you're your job better, you know, your relationship with your coworkers. But, you know, be accepting, have compassion, and, you know,
respect.
I'll stand there and listen to Jared call a cop a pig. I'm not gonna stand by and watch him. I'm not gonna watch him physically assault anyone, not a police officer or anybody. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's the difference, and that's
or the other way around.
Exactly. Well, exactly. You know, that's. But yeah. And Obama thinks we're a jackass.
He's a jackass.
Well, you heard this wonderful solution he has to fixing the job, the whole unemployment situation, right?
Well, what is it?
He's going to extend unemployment benefits for another year. So that's 3 years now. So people will be on unemployment for 3 years straight. Some people.
Oh, I thought they was going to print more money.
So they increased the limit on like...
so on like, unemployment, yeah. You can collect unemployment for 3 years now or something to that effect.
So it was 2 years previously.
Right.
Yeah. Well, check out this new clip. It's you guys have been hearing about China. They're pissed off because they're not gonna. They're like upgrade. They want their money from their hoes, and we're their hoes.
But as America's largest creditor, China has become alarmed at the state of U.S. finances and attempts to restructure its debts, or put more simply, their concerns may have been heightened by the historic downgrading on Friday of the U.S.'s AAA credit rating by agency Standard & Poor's. On Saturday, China criticized what it called the short-sighted wrangling in the United States, and it's calling for the introduction of a new, stable and secured global reserve currency to replace the dollar as the world's financial benchmark. The Chinese government says it has every right to demand that the U.S. address its structural debt problems and ensure the safety of China's dollar assets.
Ah.
Makes perfect sense to me.
World currency, guys. There it is. Now, is this what this is all about? I don't know. Maybe is that just... I'm sure it's more than a side note. But,
oh, indeed.
I don't know. But I don't know. I've heard Obama. I've heard Geithner. I've heard them all say... "What?" I don't care what they say. We're still AAA rated.
That's right.
Like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but we're still AAA rated. Ha ha.
Right.
Ha ha. Ha ha, Standard is a
four. Nana boo boo, stick your head in doo doo.
Ha ha. You know, ha ha. We're still AAA rated. Ha ha. What? And
well, George Soros made some money off of that.
Oh, I believe it. Well, there's people out there eating freedom fries that actually believe it, too. You know?
I fell off the wagon for some freedom fries last night, and it was pretty good.
So, the economy is crashing, and London is burning.
London is burning. There's even been talk of police being given stand-down orders while London was burning.
No,
wouldn't it
look.
Be ironic... Wouldn't it be ironic if London burning saved America's economy because it finds a stolen electronics on eBay?
I could totally see people buying that crap too.
Are you kidding me? Keep watch. Watch eBay. Actually, better yet, Craigslist. Watch Craigslist. They have a Craigslist... Somebody consult the Book of Knowledge and see if they've got Craigslist in London. Let's see.
I'm sure they do.
U.S. cities, Craigslist worldwide, Europe, United Kingdom. Oh yeah, London.
Wow. When you mentioned consulting the Book of Knowledge, I did for regarding the London riots. And of course, there is a Wikipedia page for the London riots, but they're actually documenting it up to the day. Like, they even have updated Wednesday, August 10th for today as of early hours, elsewhere, daytime, the arrest thus far. I mean, this thing has really hit the fan. Oh, look, a total of 111 police officers were injured so far.
That's it? Oh, maybe because they're backing down.
I like the 111.
Or the police just don't wear their uniforms.
Hey, no, literally, I was watching it.
Wednesday. Wednesday, August 10th here is on Craigslist London. It says, massive electronics sale.
Wow.
And then yesterday, here's wanted cheap LCD TVs, plural.
Okay,
massive electronics sale. Here's today, massive electronics sale. Laptops, printers, stereos, PCs, PS3s, Wii's, phones, home cinema systems. We've got the lot. We have over 10 and everybody is welcome. We're scratching and denting.
I'm like seeing like all the high end, and they've got like what is it? I'm seeing a camera with like three lenses on it, like an audio entertainment system with like four speakers, and then you've got like just a hall of speakers, like a room of speakers.
I don't know. I'm sure that's not the stolen stuff yet. The stolen stuff will start making its way to Craigslist here in the coming weeks. So maybe we'll make that limited time show segment is check the London Craigslist for pilfered items during the looting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you noticed how, like, people in general seem just a little bit more agitated than usual? Like, they're more prone to, like, aggressive fighting vocally or almost physically?
What are you talking? Like lately? What?
Yeah, like just like as you're like in your day to day life, have you noticed that more people are prone to aggressive behavior towards each other than to? Because there was like one time on the bus, this lady, she got into like a real big argument with the bus driver for some reason over nothing, and then other people just seem aggressive. I don't know, and like I've been hearing some radio shows that they talk about it as well. And, you know, I just get this feeling that, you know, that things are going to go bad, that society is going to degrade. At least that's the feeling that I got right after, you know, the talk with, after they got the Super Congress approved 2 days later, the economy starts falling down. You know, I think people are, like, you know, panicking or something or getting in a bad mood.
Well,
if they don't, yeah.
First of all, I've rode the buses in Austin.
Yeah.
Zen-like atmosphere in the world. When it takes you know, over an hour to get 8 miles up the road. That's a little ridiculous. I can see how somebody that pulled a 9-10 hour shift is going to be a little grumpy. A 9-10 hour shift at their job is going to be a little grumpy maybe on that bus. But I know I can't say I really have seen that, but I haven't been on the bus. And I haven't really been in any high stressful
Well,
I haven't been in any areas where people congregate that's really stressful, you know.
Yeah, other than that, I notice more people are sleeping on the bus. Like, you know, everybody's just tired and shit. Like, worked too hard, you know.
Right.
That's our economy.
In London, buses are burning. Now, see, how many...
You'd be lucky to get on the bus without it not being on fire.
Matter of fact, here, let me go ahead and preface this with this.
And now, back to real news.
Yeah, in real news, the Cleveland Indians had a 14-inning game last night, so yeah, that's what I was consumed with. yeah, it was a late night for that. So I haven't really been doing a little bit on the London stuff today, and then I was watching some news clips this morning when I was kind of picking up the house. But I mean, what new information do you guys have on the whole London thing?
Well, the IPCC has already come back and now said that there's Mark Dugan, the individual who was the root cause of all this that started the whole situation, he was shot and killed by police. That reportedly he opened fire and injured one of the officers. There was also one of the officers' radios that had been hit, so they were going to set that radio off to ballistics testing. And now the IPCC has come back and said, A, the bullet that was lodged in the radio was police issued, and B, the individual Mark Dugan, there is no evidence showing that he ever opened fire on police before he was shot and killed. So that's the latest that I've heard, and also as well as the fact that there's smacks to quote-unquote journalists who were peppered about through the whole ruckus and nastiness, apparently paying some of these kids to riot. They were actually instigating and provocateuring, if you will. So there's a lot going on here. Something smells. Definitely not my opinion. So I'm not quite sure. I just know that, you know, if you look back at the Iranian coup, Kermit Roosevelt, full-handedly spoke by rioting and had Mohammad Mossadegh removed from office. You know, Roosevelt was the pioneer to all of this unprecedented rioting, you know, using a small amount of cash and paying these people, you know, to riot. You get a few thousand people started up, you already have a restless nation that's trying to follow suit. So it seems to have dominoed now, and I was just talking about it with my boss this morning about how it evolved. Complete societal breakdown of just these kids, a bunch of these, you know, silly British kids that are now the latest generation of possibly British mercenaries being paid to stir the pot. So, you know, who knows what's really going on? We just know what we're being told, and we know that what we're being shown, right?
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll just have to, because it doesn't seem like any kind of, from what the little bit that I've been seeing about the London, it doesn't look even like the Mick revolutions in Egypt and such this past spring. Does it look at all like that to you guys? It looks more like the L.A. riots. You know,
well,
it looks like, what I've seen, it looks like a bunch of people, opportunistic people, capitalizing off of this man getting shot and people being angry to go get themselves some new shit. But, I don't know. Like I said, I watched a 14-inning baseball game last night, so I'm not exactly an expert at this particular topic.
Well,
you know,
as far as the other details to the whole rioting issue in London are saying that one of the things that fanned the flames was the use of Twitter and BlackBerry, specifically BlackBerry Messenger. And I want to just be going, I want to make very clear that people understand that this could be a precursor of Americans using this, American governments using this as an example to regulate cell phone usage, to go deeper and be more. Sorry.
Huh? I said, well, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't. Cutting out bad on my end. But yeah, this is going to be a precursor. This could very possibly line itself up to be a precursor to regulating personal cell phone usage, to violating your privacy, to going into your cell phones and looking at your call logs, looking at your messages. Again, all for the sake of privacy. I mean, it's just be vigilant and aware of what could be coming next, and be proactive. You know, find a way to get the word out, get some awareness going, just to get people's attention place where it needs to be. Because again, it's all a matter of what are we really focusing on, the riots or what are the details of the riots that could be used and twisted to the advantage of those who would be wanting to use them as oppressive means.
Yep.
Don't look over here. Nothing to see here. Look at that.
It's funny, too, because I got into a discussion about TSA with an individual who was pro-TSA. They were pro the inhabitants of the scanners. They were pro the inhabitants of these invasive pat-downs, and I asked them, of course, they're coming from the standpoint of, well, you never know, we have to be safe in traveling, and we need to be, we need to have, if you don't like it, you don't have to fly. And I said, okay, so you're telling me that if this grows to the proportions of where we have a TSA agent for every driveway, and you have to go through a scanner or a pat-down every day before you leave your driveway, all in the name of safety, that's acceptable for you? And of course they're like, oh, well, that's unreasonable. That's just completely unreasonable. I said, you don't think that a naked scanning image of your child's body or your grandmother's body is not unreasonable? And thankfully they shut the hell up because they knew exactly where this was going. There's no justifiable argument for this. I mean, if you want to go ahead and play the we have to be safe game, then we're going to go ahead and throw back at you the whole kit and caboodle of those who would trade their liberty for freedom, deserve neither. Oh, how's it go? I'm going to totally botch this. Damn it.
deserve neither freedom.
You can't botch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't botch it. Right. It's great.
The gist is the same. Anybody that would trade liberty for security deserves neither. Liberty or security.
We'll receive something to that effect. But yeah, it's true. It holds true regardless. And that's the way that's eventually how I see this whole thing evolving to, is that if we're going to try and say that we need to have safe travel and we're going to justify these constitutionally violating entities on that basis, then we need to go ahead and look at the broad spectrum here and see exactly how that's going to be evolving. And that's exactly where I see it heading. There's going to be a TSA agent for every driveway. If they had their truckers. There you go.
Yeah. Yes, it's very possible. And but the question is, the TSA agent that's going to be a uniform TSA agent or one of their new slick undercover operatives that they're in the midst of training.
You know, I want to know what they're testing, because I know that they're continuously doing tests, and as of the last, I haven't heard anything in the last few months, but as of the beginning of summer, I was hearing that they, all across the nation, TSA inhabitants at airports had failed close to 80% of all of their quote-unquote secret test opportunities. So all these people that were, trying to, flub the TSA by deliberately bringing on some kind of inappropriate item or weapon, they failed 80% across the board. I mean, you heard about this guy in Houston who boarded a plane with a loaded Glock in his briefcase and didn't realize it until after he had landed.
Nice.
Yeah. It's awesome. Security theater. Yeah.
New program. I need that new program. So I got my hot key.
Shadow Puppet Theater.
Because that would have been perfect for that. So what else is new with you guys? We got about 7 minutes till the halfway point of the show. I think Heather Fazio is going to join us at some time today.
Excellent. Always a pleasure having her on board, especially hearing about the latest and greatest from Texas government. Woo! So proud of those guys.
Yes.
They are the real deal. Yeah. They are out there pushing it, moving and shaking for the best of them. They are making it happen for us here in Texas. So go them. Go Heather Fazio. Steering committee for tag team. Big rock. But yeah,
well,
I definitely want to get in maybe after the break when we have some more time, depending on if, whether or not Heather will be joining us. But I remember you dropping this link out, basically how
the Department of Defense. Was that the one you were talking about, the link? That sucks. The pre-crime detectors. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the pre-crime detectors. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
How does that work?
Want to cover that. You know, I don't know if we want to get 6 minutes. We want to try and break it down?
Go ahead and break it down. We can come back from the break with it. Well, go ahead and break it down. We can talk about it after the break, too.
Well, I'm having some issues with my computer at the moment, so I apologize if you lose me. My internet's been really crappy lately, so there's a very real possibility I could be dropped. As a matter of fact, oh, crap. No, don't do this. I'm sorry, folks. Yeah, I live out in the boonies.
No, you're...
I mean, this
you're
is,
all right.
I still
I'm
hear
looking
you.
For it.
Oh, good. You still help me. Well, that's good. We've got what it's called is the Future Attributor Screening Technology, and it's basically they're developing intention detectors, and there's designed to they're going to be fitting these security checkpoints with this FAST program, and they're going to be they basically are a sophisticated set of sensors that are designed to identify several physiological indicators like heart rate or the steadiness of a person's gaze. So basically, if you have a nervous disorder, you're screwed.
Tourette's.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, excellent. We got Heather Fazio on. She's ready to rock and roll. Heather, are you with us?
Heather!
Hey.
Woo!
Hey, Heather.
Hey, what's going on? Did you,
hey, who's
did you
on
hear
the line?
What we
got...
just talking about?
Yeah,
we
who else
Nico?
On the line? Mallory and Nathan?
Nico?
And then we got Mind over in the producer's booth somewhere out there in the ether.
Yep, it's me, Mallory, and Nathan, and Nico. Yep, me and Mallory, because I'm in the plural day.
Oh, well, hello. I'm glad to be on with you. Guys. Thank you for having me.
Schizophrenic thing said.
That's right.
Hey, thank you for coming on. Did you we were just talking about the TSA, this article. Did you see the article that Mallory was talking about? Were
actually,
there,
no, it's the DHS.
Department of Homeland Security, but
yeah.
I mean, that's TSA. They've got behavior scanners that they're going to start, they want to start installing into the airports.
Intention detectors.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, I posted it actually yesterday when I found it on the Homeland Security Newswire. If you go to HomelandSecurityNewswire.com, you should be able to access a website with all kinds of information. But I'm just finding out right now that the link has been disabled and that website is down.
It is,
really?
Yeah. I've actually got another one. I've got another window open right now where I have the article, so I can do a copy. I can do a print screen of it. But yeah, the link itself is down.
Yeah, it's
get to that link myself.
I don't. I mean, call me a conspiracy theorist, but you know, people. It was published on the 9th, which was yesterday.
Yep.
And as soon as we started circulating it, the entire website went down. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little paranoid or just too much wrapped up in my bubble, but that's. You know, quite a coincidence.
No. I agree with you, actually. I'm actually taking a screenshot of the article right now that I've still got opened up.
Because
I had it opened up in the morning.
That's good, because...
So it just went down in the last hour.
Yeah, because I'm not finding it either.
Yeah, I can't reopen it. That's why I'm not hitting refresh on this other window, because I've got it open from this morning. So, but yeah, I think that's because I got my article from Nathan, so I'm guessing he probably found it through you, because I just heard about it this morning, which I was just like, wow. But yeah, like you said, it posted yesterday, so this is brand new. It would make sense they'd want to yank it if it's already going viral, and I'm sure it must be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard about something they call Checkpoints of the Future.
No.
Yeah, what it is it was just unveiled last month, and what it is when you go to the airport, so that you don't have to worry about being fondled or groped or anything, because there's been such an outcry about these scanners and about the pat-downs that they're doing, that now they want to have a process by which you would have a secure check-in, which means biometric scannings. They are very open about them scanning your eyes, your face, and all of your fingerprints. And that is how they would securely check you in. And once you've been checked in, it will have already been determined whether you are a preferred passenger, if you have already submitted all your information to the government, if you are a normal passenger, or if you are of elevated risk.
Oh, glorious.
And they're going, it's incredible. There's going to be three different tunnels that you would go down, which is the security checkpoint, and it would have, be detecting for liquid explosives and powders. It would be an X-ray machine. And in this article that I had read, the latest one, it didn't say anything about heart rate or, like what we were seeing with the pre-crime thing with the eyes and stuff like that. But it was in a previous article from the actual manufacturer himself saying that kind of technology would be used in the checkpoints of the future. So we have the manufacturer of this technology and DHS coming out with parallel programs, which means that they're working together. It's not a coincidence that it's all coming out at the same time. And,
sure.
I really honestly believe that they went so far with these body scanners and with these pat-downs so that we would so adamantly reject them. And we would be begging for something that didn't violate us in such a way, and we would welcome these checkpoints of the future that we don't have to get overly radiated and we don't have to get molested for. But when you buy your ticket, the government is going to be looking through databases to determine what level of a risk you are. So, and this is another thing that they say, that they're looking for bad people rather than bad objects.
Of course. That's
about right. Well, Heather, hang with us till we get back from this other side of this break, would you?
You got it.
Awesome.
All right. Our freedomizers, changers, human resource slaves, we are Change Austin, True Talk Radio. We'll see you guys back after this break.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource. TomorrowsHarvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city. All you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The3w's.theinternationalforecaster.com.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Them's dangerous stickers, guys. Right. Them stickers. Them stickers are dangerous.
Squirrel!
Yeah. I'm burn down your house.
I'm going to burn down, yeah, them stickers. All right, well, we are back, as Mallory was getting ready to say, and I stepped all over, and we still have Heather Fazio, don't we?
That's right. I'm here.
Yay! All right. Well, we were... What the heck were... See, there it is again. I need to make a note before I go to commercial. Like, this is what we are talking about right now. And... Because I get back on the air and it's like... I want to talk about my fresh bladder and fresh cup of coffee and this cigarette I just lit. And it's like...
We were talking about DHS and the checkpoints of the future. And, you know, I spoke at City Council last week, and I meant to bring this up, but unfortunately I didn't prepare like I usually do, and I didn't time out my presentation, and so I didn't get to that point. But I really wanted to talk to them because I really do think that they have, you know, pushed it so far with these pat-downs and body scanners that we're going to be welcoming the checkpoints of the future. And, you know, one of the things that I went yet last night to the Airport Advisory Commission, which is the commission that passed the resolution here in Austin opposing body scanners and pat-downs, so I know they're very receptive to this. So I went to their commission last night, and I brought the information that was obtained from EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, which is a privacy advocacy group, and they obtained documents from DHS. There were emails from TSOs and the TSA Workers Union that were talking about how there has been an alarming increase of cancer coming up in these TSO screeners. And so I wanted to bring this to the attention of the not only the Airport Advisory Commission, but of the City Council, too, because, you know, I often refer to the screeners as criminals and thugs because of the policies that they enforce that are, you know, humiliating, unnecessary, and in complete violation of the human rights that we all have inherently. But, you know, it turns out that they are also victims, and it is the function of government to protect. And if these screeners are in harm's way because of these machines, it is their duty to get rid of them immediately. And we haven't seen that happen at the federal or at the local level. And so it's time for us to start pushing. And one of the things that I would like to do is organize a forum at the city level, because there was a federal court ruling last month that said TSA needs to solicit public comment about body scanners. And since we don't have them here in Austin, I think it's the perfect opportunity for us to host a forum like that, invite TSA, invite the public, and have our concerns addressed, especially the health concerns, because these things are not only complete theater, they do not keep us safe, but they're actually killing us. And they're killing the screeners who are operating them, and it's absolutely unacceptable.
That's
amen.
Well, you know, this may be a little cold and callous, but is it possible that that's like karma cancer? I mean, anybody that's, you know, these agents with their God trips and their badges and their authority, you know, is it possibly, you know, karma? Because, I mean, it doesn't even seem like they care. We've been trying to bring this up to these guys for at least a year now, right? That, man, you guys are standing next to this big radiation machine. You don't think it's affecting you at all? I don't know. But I don't wish cancer on anybody, but it just sounds to me, whenever I read that are developing, you know, these different cancer clusters that are developing around screeners, I just can't help but to think, you know, we tried to tell you.
Yeah, it's true, but, you know, we can't, I agree that karma does work like that, and I think that that's kind of natural law, how things work, but we can't blame the wounded. I think that
right.
There are so many wounded people, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and they're victims too, and it's our duty as, you know, as fellow humans to try to wake them up and to do what we can to fight for justice, because, like, you know, Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yep. Yep. And all it takes for evil to win is for a good man to do absolutely nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. The rubber's getting ready to hit the road, though, that's for sure. I mean, Super Congress and the economy and just the whole security blanket that's being thrown over, you know, just regular citizens. It's no longer a war against brown people, calling them terrorists. It's now, you know, the biggest threat now is white middle class. That's scary, man. That's real scary when it started. And that not just because I'm white and middle class, because I was scared when they were targeting brown people as terrorists. But, you know, it's a quote fiesta here on True Talk. But what was the first they came for? The trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist. So it's gotten to that point. It's gotten to the point. They've gone down the list, and now they're at white middle class, and, you know, who's left to stand up?
Right. Well, I think that you're absolutely right, and there is so much going on, and it's really overwhelming, you know, to think about these, you know, minority report tactics for pre-crime prevention and or detection and all of that stuff is really overwhelming, and that's one of the reasons why I am so adamant about focusing on local issues and focusing on, you know, the big picture, which is these, you know, security checkpoints, police state being implemented, but it's being implemented at the local level also. And if we can all start, you know, those little brush fires of freedom in our own city, in our own county, soon this whole country will be on fire with the spirit of liberty. And we all
right.
have to do our own, you know, diligence here at the local level. And that's what I think is so beautiful about Texans for Accountable Government. It's all about localizing the effort and really focusing on what you can
right.
do, because there's so much that we can't do, and there's so much of a, you know, an established power structure that exists, and we know that it exists. We can feel that it exists, but we can really make a difference on the local level. And if we all do that everywhere really not even just in the United States, but everywhere on the planet, we'll take this place back and we will have a place for free people to live and to prosper again.
I hear you. And doing it locally, as TAG does, it really gives, you can get results, visible results. You know, that was one of the things that, that kind of brought my faith back into the political system just a tad bit, was seeing TAG achieve results. You and I and Mallory just talked about it the other night about, you know, the parks and bringing communities together and being able to fight. There are things that maybe not necessarily we can't do, but are so big, it's going to take more than an individual and more than that individual's lifetime to achieve those results. Doesn't mean that we still shouldn't try to conquer those big goals, but yeah, you're 100% right as far as, you know, localizing it, because you can achieve visible results that way.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, we were talking during the break about Brave New Books, which is a fantastic bookstore here in Austin. It's, if you're ever downtown, 1904 Guadalupe Street, it's Brave New Bookstore, right on the corner of Guadalupe and MLK. And they have served as kind of a hub for the Liberty Movement in Austin, providing us places to meet, providing us with fantastic speakers. We like to have fun and throw parties and have local music play. And, you know, it's really a great place for us to build community. And it offers really great resources for educating ourselves. And it's really important to have places like this at the local level where we can all come together to kind of plan. But it's more important that we get out there and take action. And that's what Brave has always encouraged, is putting all of this, you know, hostility that we have towards the state into action to go and put our foot up their asses.
Well, absolutely. I love Brave New Books. It's amazing. You know, back up north, we would have our discussions, you know, around the dinner table, or, you know, sitting on a couch watching a documentary and such. And that's basically how it starts out. But, yeah, Brave New Books is definitely the next level. And I love it that, you know, now I believe that they have their domain up for their Brave Used Books.
It's a
book. Yeah, there's an internet address, isn't there?
Yeah, a Brave New Book Store. Not book.
Is that got the used books as well?
It's braveusedbooks.com and then bravenewbookstore.com.
Okay.
Okay. Braveusedbooks.com. Yeah. Right. But yeah, I love them guys down there. I mean, they're another. Yep. Braveusedbooks.com.
And weren't they?
Correct.
Are they still selling silver dollars out there?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and they sell silver, and they sell all kinds of natural products, like, you know, dishwashing soap and shampoo and, you know, hemp-based soap and chapstick and things like that. So it's things that we, you know, while we're moving away from everything with all those chemicals, we're going to need to start purchasing organic and naturally made products, and they are starting to offer those, which I think is really great. Oh, and, you know, they started to sell the sodas with natural sugar rather than the high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
They always sell the tea, too, sweet leaf tea. I always get one. I'm over there. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Nico, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, the great thing about Brave New Books is because, like, well, it also works for the community. I mean, I don't know if people have heard about this product, the pure rainwater, which is rainwater that's collected before it hits the ground and is purified and completely clean. It's like, I actually figured out that one of the people that lives here in Austin and regularly visits the store is actually the woman who runs the business. She came up with that idea. And, you know, one of the first people that she started selling that product to the community through was Harlan's Bookstore, but she's selling it, if you go to the central markets around here and in natural stores, it's all over Austin. I didn't realize it came out of here from Austin. Another thing is, like, a lot of the T-shirts in there are from, like, TAG and other local groups. And I think, like, if anybody has a chance, you know, try to make something like Brave New Books in your own city. But the main thing for people that are not, like, in the general Texas area or might be visiting, you want to check out Brave New Books because there may be a speaker within the general liberty movement worldwide or nationwide that happens to come and speak at Brave New Books. And you should really check that website out, get on the newsletter, and because there might be somebody that you really wanted to hear. I remember one time there was Tex Mars there. You have people from Oath Keepers. You have all types of guests, besides great people like Heather Fazio, by the way, and John Bush, and others that already live here in Austin.
You know? Oh, I love it. It's well, you know, I've said it to you guys individually. I don't know if I've said it on the air yet, but I mean, it's my way at 75 miles an hour in a U-Haul full of my entire life, and knew that I was going to be at Brave New Books at noon on Saturday before I even had a mailing address in Austin, Texas. So there you go. Look, you guys are just like, what? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How are you going to gamble your entire life like that? No.
Squirrel.
It was great, man. I love
you. Things sometimes, Nathan. So I love your effort.
Hey, you know what? I love each and every one of you guys, and I knew it was going to be awesome. I knew I was going to meet some way cool people. You guys have far exceeded my expectations, and say it right here on the air. Thank you guys, all of you guys, Nico, Mallory, Heather. You guys rock, man.
So, you're awesome, too, Nathan.
All right. Well, yeah. This is getting to be a big corny love fest now. So, but anyway, Heather, did you hear about how TSA though is going to start doing profiling? And it sounds to me they haven't come out and said they're going to be undercover, but it sounds to me from the reports I'm hearing that they're going to be actually undercover TSA agents walking through the airport, talking.
They already have
heard
that.
About any of that?
They already
Do
have
that.
Okay. They have 3,000 of them right now today.
Okay. Well, here, check this news. Tell me if this is if this is the same thing, or is this a dish? Is this a new program? Check this. Maybe. Come on and play.
All right, let's switch gears now and talk about airport security because it's about to undergo another change. The TSA is about to borrow a page from Israel's airport security by profiling passengers with behavior detection techniques.
And feel free to talk over.
Can this method actually be effective here?
We've played
it
before.
Joining me now from D.C. is Robert Luskowski, a former assistant secretary at the Homeland Department of Homeland Security, that is. He has also consulted. Good morning to you, Mr. Luskowski.
Good morning, Gretchen. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So the idea that they're going to start looking at behavioral techniques or attitudes of people, or what exactly do you think they're going to be looking at potential passengers?
Well, this is a good tool. This is a tool that's going to allow the TSA and other law enforcement agencies to be able to identify or potentially detect those people, whether they're criminals or terrorists, that are going to try to exploit our vulnerabilities in our systems.
But how will that happen? I mean, the TSA officers are going to be called behavior detection officers at 161 airports. So are we to assume that these are the people that are checking our IDs and then they might just get into a little bit more of a conversation with us before we go through security? How will it work?
Yeah, that's right. It's a layered approach. They're looking for all sorts of behaviors. They're going to be identifying people in line or in the airports that are you know, acting suspiciously or maybe uncomfortable, and they'll spot them, they'll look at them in line. They'll talk to them, engage them in conversation, look for certain traits or characteristics selected for further screening.
All right, so let me ask you this. Will they just take an already flown TSA person, who up until this point their job has been, you know, to look at the screen and to look at IDs, and suddenly they're going to be a behavioral expert?
Well, I think the selection process isn't well publicized, but clearly they can look for people that have the aptitude to be able to interact with people in a casual way, not cause them to be alarmed, by the same token, to identify those characteristics, like I said, that are going to be those things that are
undercover,
abnormal or maybe anomalous behavior that should be further investigated. This requires a significant amount of training. It requires people who are capable of using principles but not jumping to conclusions that are going to be, using reasonable approaches to identify potential terrorists.
Right. So the TSA chief, John Pistol, said this: "I'm very much interested in expanding the behavior detection program in a way that allows us to have more interaction with the passenger just from a discussion, which may be able to expedite the physical screening aspects. There's a lot
of." So she
under
just said it was an expansion of.
Obviously very effective. So what he's pointing to, Robert, is all this talk that much smaller country, much smaller airline, where they put passengers through, hours of questioning and searching and going through their luggage. Do you really see it becoming as expansive here in this country, and do you think it will work?
Yeah, I think it'll work. I think it's a layered approach, as we indicated. We're looking at all sorts of data that aggregate up to identifying terrorists. It's not just interviewing somebody in line for a few minutes or even a half an hour. It's looking at where they're coming from, their background data. It's getting the data mining systems in place that allow you to identify people. It's looking at their checked baggage. We're looking at a screening process, which is it's a multi-layered approach. This is just one facet of it, and it's intended to identify people, again, that might have
notice he said multi-layered like three times.
Criminal or terrorist related.
So you know that
these are going to be highly trained.
So you know the critics of this program will say that this will lead to racial profiling and discrimination and such. What would your response be to that?
I mean, sure, you always have that discussion. Being objective about it, you need to be looking at all facets of the that are verbal responses to you, but where are they coming from? What's their origin? It's really comprehensive, and you're always going to have a discussion around racial profiling. If you look at the Israeli system, I'm not suggesting they use racial profiling, but they really look at the ethnic backgrounds as part of their criteria for selecting
all
people.
Right. Yeah, well, they don't need to use racial profiling anymore because we're all terrorists now, right?
Bullshit.
Guilty until proven innocent.
What's that?
More the same, guilty until proven innocent?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You didn't know that? And even after you've been found innocent, you still have to pay money to have all that crap taken off your record. So you're not innocent till proven guilty anymore. That's new. I don't know if that ever was. That might have been just something that I thought was like Superman and the Easter Bunny, but who knows? Now, Heather, they did mention in there that was an expansion of an existing program. Did you catch that?
I did.
Okay, so does that sound like what you had heard of already?
Yeah, I read it recently. It was on that Homeland Security Newswire website, and they said that there were already 3,000 TSA, TSOs, I don't remember exactly what they called them, but that are working there, already working to watch behavior and to analyze it and to do that. And, I'm not opposed to that. I think that there are dangers of it moving to be, a racial profiling thing, but we have to keep them accountable, of course. But, I think that that's reasonable to see if somebody looks really nervous and to go and talk to them and, try to, that's how it always has worked. That's the only way any terrorist actions have ever been stopped, is by someone realizing that, hey, that guy looks like he's about to blow something up. He looks really scared. And
right.
To kind of, being alert and aware. And, it is a scary, slippery slope when you're trying to prevent crime. But, there are means within the criminal process, legitimate means to prevent, making sure that you can still prosecute someone and still prevent someone from doing a crime without violating their rights. I mean, there are such things as attempted murder and attempted assault, attempted things, and there has to be evidence to prove that. But, you get that evidence by, watching someone. And if they're in public, I mean, I certainly don't think that they should be going through and, every passenger going and checking to see, what they've been talking about on their Facebook page and things like that, looking into them that way. But, while someone's standing in line and they're in public, I think it's entirely appropriate for us all, not just TSA agents, but for every single one of us while we're in that security line, being vigilant about who's around us. And that goes for everywhere, not just airports.
I mean,
that's how we stop things.
Yeah, I was going to say. Right. Even if you're standing in line at the grocery store, man, talk to the person behind you. You know,
mm-hmm.
talk to the person in front of you. So it does come down to personal responsibility. What I'm concerned about with these undercover guys is them seeing somebody maybe wearing a Ron Paul shirt or, you know, something like that. Because we all know that, you know, that's why white middle class is being targeted right now is because of this, you know, first of all, they've gone through everybody else. They've already taken out the trade unionists. They've already taken out this group. They've already taken out that group. They've already demonized this group. Now it's our turn. But, you know, I agree with you as far as being vigilant. And that isn't that the only thing that's ever stopped? I mean, the guy that lit his underwear on fire, the guy that lit his shoes on fire, that was all handled by passengers on the plane. I believe it was Flight 93. If we're to believe what happened in Flight 93, it was the passengers that prevented that plane from reaching its destination, if you want to believe the Charlie Veach story. But, you know, so it TSA's never prevented anything.
Nope, not a
single
incident.
Except for somebody not, yeah. Maybe you not being able to bring the shampoo you want. I don't know.
Yeah, I was in the grocery store line, and I blew the kid's mind that was checking out my groceries. It was Monday night after I left the Public Safety Commission meeting, Airport Advisory, and so I was all amped up about that, and I started talking to him about it, and he didn't even know what to say. He was, like, completely speechless and told me to keep up the good work because I was talking about, you know, how the checkpoints of the future and how we're moving towards, you know, not looking for, you know, guns or objects that can hurt people, but actually having the government decide who is a good person and who is a bad person. And they literally use that language.
Right.
They're looking for, quote, bad people rather than, quote, bad objects. It's incredible.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And I'm telling you, from my personal experience of 36 years of hanging out on this mud ball floating through space, I have met way more good people than I have bad people. Matter of fact, off the top of my head, in my personal meeting and having personal contact with somebody, I can only think of two times in my entire existence that I can really put the label of bad person on somebody. I mean, there's people that I maybe not agree with their behavior and such, but then I just take my right to not be around them and whatever. You know, it's not my place to judge, but there's only two people in my entire existence on planet Earth that I feel comfortable with judging and saying, well, they're bad people. So I would say that's pretty good at odds. I've met five.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, see, look, there's another love fest. I think we got to go to a commercial, don't we? And we probably got to let Heather get back to work. So she
I do need to get
save,
to work.
She can save the world. Well, thank you for coming on and enjoying some Hot Pockets for lunch with us. And keep on trucking, and we'll just put it publicly out on the air. You be safe in your upcoming travels. And
please. All of you and everyone listening, please pray for me because I'm going to be traveling and I'm going to be brave, but I'm really worried about being subjected to something awful in the checkpoint. So I'm going to keep my head up, and I hope that you all will pray for me and wish me luck.
When are you traveling
out?
You
know it.
Tomorrow morning.
All right. I'll be sending you good juju, girl.
All right. Thank you.
Yep,
see you later, guys.
You know it. All right, Heather. Bye-bye. Safe. All right. Well, guys, let's take our last commercial break. 33. So, guys, True Talk Radio, Austin, we are changed. We'll be back after this break.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high-quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities,
Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
I still meet people who believe that in tough times that Big Brother will save their skin. Really. The list of cities and states that are bankrupt is growing as I speak. Let's face it, you are the first line of defense in a crisis. Do you have an extra supply of storable food and water? The stores will be empty in a matter of hours in a crisis. Look, if you're willing to face reality, call Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest, and she can help you get started no matter your budget. Healthy Harvest carries a full line of emergency preparedness and food storage products, including 300 different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. She has vital information on water storage and purification, emergency evacuation kits, and supplies. Jan LeBaron at Healthy Harvest is in the business of saving lives. Your life, your family's. Call Jan, toll-free 888-311-8940. 888-311-8940. Call now.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Freedomizers, freedomizing, freedom changers, changing, and on a radio. What's going on?
Oh, just discussing the wild world of religious intolerance and dissent among our own people, which is frustrating. I don't know if you heard. Did you hear any about that? I know that you were away during the break, but I don't know if you heard what Nico and I were discussing.
I heard paganism and I heard Satanism and
that's
what I caught right then.
then I definitely need to explain.
Queer
Change is a grassroots effort that is devoted to spreading truth and awareness and freedom. I would like to think that our core belief structure is freedom, is it not?
Well, yeah,
yes,
it's,
it is.
Well,
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Do it.
So, by that token...
Respectful freedom, you know,
yeah,
in that
exactly.
both ways.
So when you find that there is a person speaking on behalf of We Are Change, and they are advocating an event that is designed and openly bashing people of other religions, specifically pagans, and spreading an ignorance that is widely misunderstood and decades and centuries old, it's just frustrating when it's your own people. Because these are, like I said, this is a person that was speaking on behalf of We Are Change Maryland. And that's not what We Are Change is about. We are not about religious intolerance.
No, not at all. I'm kind of at a loss of what to say about that. I mean, in one hand, yeah, because this goes right back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show as far as We Are Change and representing We Are Change, but yet we are individuals who operate as individuals, or we wouldn't be part of We Are Change in the first place. So, you know, that being said, where this person, you know, I don't know where they get off as far as speaking from, you know, as, you know, We Are Change against any kind of theology or belief structure whatsoever. I don't want a plate for that. But at the same time, I also understand that we are a bunch of individuals, and not just individuals. We're a group of very thick-headed, critical thinking, you know, so individuals. So I agree with you. That's not cool to be downing any kind of faith or theology. You know, and I know I make comments from time to time about it, but anytime it's a personal opinion, I'll make sure. I always try to say, hey, this is personal opinion. Or if we're on the radio, guys, and you hear me talking about a theological discussion, you know, go ahead and chime in and say, hey, Nathan right now is speaking for himself as an individual, although he is a part of We Are Change, you know, just because one doesn't mean the rest of us believe it, you know. I would not have a problem with Charlie Veach and his ideas on 9/11, not that that's what I believe personally, if he didn't down everybody else, if he wasn't like, well, the 9/11 truth movement is more like a cult than anything. I mean, I believe that you should be able to believe whatever you want to believe, and I'll back you up on it.
And I'll agree to some extent that there are some 9/11 truthers out there that just sound like a broken parrot. They're just, 9/11's an inside job, 9/11's an inside job, and that's all they know how to say. It's all they can say.
Well,
and that's as far as it goes. And I do believe, I agree that there are just some that are just looking for an excuse to join the other side of the fence, and they don't really care what the reasoning is, just that there's a movement there.
Well, there's,
I get
sheep
there's
on both.
That are like that. Right.
There's sheep on both sides.
Absolutely.
There's sheep on both sides of the fence, and if you're not doing your own research
and your own critical thinking,
then, you know, and your own critical thinking, then, and that doesn't mean that you can't take in data from elsewhere, from be it YouTube, be it the Book of Knowledge, or whatever it is. Take in that data, process that data, you know, come to your own conclusion on it. But if you're doing anything less, you know, that's just lazy. You know?
Absolutely.
So.
Nico, are you with me? I thought we had some technical difficulties there.
No, I'm here. It's just... I mean, I was going to ask, so they are, and with this specific event, they are, like, inviting people of the pagan faith to, like, listen to why paganism is Satanism from somebody who's not in the pagan religion? Is that what I'm getting?
Well, no, actually. To be perfectly honest, it's a, all it is it's a Facebook event that they posted. It's happening everywhere starting August 25th to November 25th. That they're just saying that, you know, because you know the truth, we're making sure that everyone is participating, making sure that nobody is participating in these pagan celebrations, and that, you know, we're waking people up to the reality of these days and their true meaning. That's the purpose of this event.
Okay. It almost sounds like somebody who's done quite a bit of research and but doesn't have a whole lot of compassion. Does that make sense at all? I don't know. I could be wrong.
I don't even know about research. All I see is fundamentalist Christian indoctrinated by their families.
Hey, why don't you toss out? Let's see if we can get somebody from one of the moderators from that page to maybe come on the show on Friday. I don't know.
That would be fun. I don't know. After all of the, I've actually gotten into a verbal discussion with this individual, with We Are Change Maryland. I don't know if this is the same individual who started this event. I'm going to see if I can. I'll do some sleuthing and see if I can put two and two together. But yeah, maybe we can get this individual on. I don't know if I'm so stoked about spreading such a putrid ignorance, though. Giving airtime to that kind of makes my skin crawl.
let's pick that person's brain, figure out where they're
sure
coming from, and hey, you know, let's give her a try. You know, at least we can be a radio example if it even happens. I don't know if this person's gonna want to come on the air and debate, you know, their stand on personal belief versus our, because, you know, we've all three got, I'm sure we all have, three of us have, you know, different personal belief structures. So, I mean, I don't know if this person's going to want to come on, but if they do, at the very least, we can give a good example to the world of how to deal with somebody that's not an easy person to deal with. So, I don't know.
Something that I've noticed about the Illuminati is that a lot of the things that they put out there secretively, that when people notice it, that they like to just do things that whatever the instinctive action of a person who realizes truth is going to be only detrimental. Like for example, like over at the Capitol here in Austin, you've got all these different businesses listed on the tile on the floor outside. There's all these different businesses, and one of them, like the first one I noticed when I did notice it by coincidence, was Austin American Statesman. This is kind of like basically saying that, and then right next to that is like a Freemason symbol, and saying, you know, this is founded by, you know, Freemasons of Austin or something like that. And the deal is that you look at all these businesses and they've gone for a long time, and, you know, this is like you're confounded, you're just mesmerized with the fact that all these businesses are basically secretly in league with the Freemasons of Austin and, you know, the background, you know, the shadow government within locally here. And it deals that you're going to react badly to that in a way, like you're going to go to everybody and say, hey, did you know that all these businesses are in league with the Illuminati here locally? People are going to think you're crazy, you know? And the same thing with these symbols, like these are symbols that have been in our culture for a long time. Some of them are common to all faiths. Some are pagan, but
hold that thought. A lot of these symbols have been with us since a lot of those symbols were the written language before there was a written language. So a lot of these symbols that you see are going to be symbols that have been being used for 6,000 years at a minimum.
Yeah.
Go on ahead.
The thing that people need to keep in mind about Freemasons is that they tend to work upon an amalgam of different beliefs. That's to say that they take all the different beliefs of various different religions and they combine them and they use it to their own ends. And a lot of them, because they want to be perceived as a leader, will often claim to be part of the religion that is popular at the time. In this case, you know, you have a lot of right-wingers like Rick Perry who, you know, go out there and say, I'm a Christian, You know, I stand up for moral values, and then you talked about what Rick Perry does behind scenes, and we know about George W. Bush and his involvement in Bohemian Grove and all that. So, I mean, you need to keep that in mind. You need to try to be take this from all sides, be intellectual about it, because it's very easy to act instinctively and start going on like this, you know, like where you attack somebody who doesn't deserve to be attacked because you're not looking at the deeper level of what's really going on.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of the big things that, you know, researchers on Freemasonry, you do have to look deeper. It's I'm going to go ahead and nail a quote from the central figure of Christianity. Jesus said, "You have eyes that see, but you do not see. You have ears that hear, but you do not comprehend." And what he's saying is that you really got to look, you know, you got to look deeper. The Freemasons, every Freemasonic temple that can be Solomon's Temple, which was the first temple, you know, in Jerusalem, every Masonic temple is modeled after King Solomon's temple. I mean, it even says in the biblical text, the original Hebrew biblical text, the dimensions of each block and where this was to be put, where that was to be put. I mean, it was laid out supposedly from, you know, the Hebrew God, the exact dimensions of this building. Well, the Masonic temples are the same way. There's one obvious, well, actually, I'm sorry, it's not obvious, and that's where you have to have eyes that see. There's one real big difference that's very subtle, and that is in the original Hebrew text when they were constructing Solomon's temple, the altar was to be where when you bowed at the altar, you had your back to the east. You were turning your back on the pagan gods of the east. Well, temples, when you bow at the altar, you face the east. So everything is exactly, so you got all these Christians that are going into these temples that are, you know, I mean, you have ministers and, you know, preachers and, you know, that are Freemasons that are bowing at this altar when it's going against their own personal theology, but they have not had the eyes that actually see it. You get where I'm going with that? I mean, and that's real, that's true talk right there. Because, I mean, that is, all the Masonic temples are laid out just like Solomon's temple, all the small little details, except for that altar. And if you put any credence into the Hebrew, the original Hebrew text, or the even the King James Bible, because that's just part two, that was a big deal.
Yeah. The other thing is that, like,
his dimensions of his temple, right?
Mm-hmm. The other thing is
he specifically said, I'll let you hang on 1 second. Yeah. I know we're like, go. No, he specifically said, you know, this is the direction I want you to face, and this is why I want you to face that way. And then you get to the Freemasons, and they so slickly got you facing the other way.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing.
Go ahead, Nico.
I was going to say, like, if we look back at the incident where here in early America, where we notice how, like, our founders were Freemasons, and it deals that we figured out that actually whoever it is today that we understand as the Illuminati and such was actually not originally Freemasons. They infiltrated the Freemasons then, so, like, we... Even blaming Freemasons isn't quite doing justice, because whatever they weren't Freemasons originally. And who knows what religious belief, if any, that they had originally, but they had, like, some sort of... There's been a secret society that... Once you get down to the core of it, you're, like, asking yourself, well, what was originally the Illuminati? And there really isn't any answers.
Well, there's no clear-cut answers. It goes back to the mystery religions of Babylon and Egypt.
Yeah,
you know where the actual Freemasonic rituals come from are all based in the mystery schools, which the mystery schools were basically, you know, what a secret society is. You can walk into any Christian can walk into a synagogue, or any Muslim can come into a Christian church. That should be an open, you know, religion, an open school. Where the mystery schools of Egypt, that's why they had the initiation process. And anything that's got an initiation process, and different degrees to obtain different information, that would be considered a mystery school. But I mean, it goes back to just like what we were talking about a second ago with these signs and symbols that are older than any written language. You know, you're just talking about these mystery schools is when they started writing this stuff down, or actually carving it into rock.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're just talking about what I was talking about. Yeah, there's a, I forget the name of it, but there's a letter that, a memo, as it were, that could be tracked down, where it specifically states we have uncovered. Well, what it was is that it was a communication between Illuminati members, and it was uncovered by the Freemasons of our early America, and they figured out, you know, they figured this out, and then they informed the government, and you know, they. That kind of like ended it right there, because they had been exposed, and then they were looking for the Illuminati members that were trying to infiltrate the Freemason groups then. But ultimately, they couldn't get them all. This is how this history goes.
Right. Well, did you know that the guy, the very first documents that were gathered about the Illuminati, I believe it was in France, the guy was going from Weishaupt in Ingolstadt, Bavaria,
mm-hmm.
to, and he was bringing some documents to Rothschild. I think it was, Big Daddy Rothschild. And he was actually hit by lightning in front of a church. It was a church or some kind of a place of worship, but whoever the minister or pastor or came out and found all these incriminating documents on this guy. So, I mean, who knows if that's just legend? If that's some kind of a distraction in and of itself? But I mean, that's how the mythos of the Illuminati. I mean, that's real canonical history.
Yeah, it could be, what do you call it, something to keep us going to talk about, so that we don't begin to start unraveling the real truth of what the Illuminati is. Is that where you're getting at?
Right. Well, you know, what I'm getting at is there's a conspiracy with the clock to get us to shut up, because we're like almost out of time. Conspiracy that I can see right now.
The time is
Mallory and Nico.
Us.
Yes, it is. I enjoyed spending this wonderful Wednesday, which is what we're going to now refer to as Hump the American Dream Day, and the American Dream is just getting by. But man, it was great to have Heather on today. Yeah, she's always very informative guest. So listeners out. Yeah, no doubt. Listeners out there, check out for Texans for Accountable Government. You can find them guys on Facebook. Also, please check out BraveUsedBooks.com. Get yourself a book from Brave New Books. It might be a Brave Used book, but it'll still be from Brave New Books. But I'm waiting to hear some Costa start it up, man. Where is he at? Because I'm not done talking. But I want to hear some Costa. But and anybody else out there, with us on our Facebook page, we've got a True Talk Radio with We Are Change Austin on Facebook. And like I said, Brave Use Books, Texans for Accountable Government. I'm Nathan, Mallory, Nico. show. We are Change Austin, and this has been True Talk Radio. Guys, we'll see you guys on Friday, please. And till then, peace out.
If you got a dollar in your pocket, hold it up like this. Next year that dollar's worth 89 cents. And the test here is how to make your bank account stretch to the best of your ability, you're real TD Press. By half, almost anyone can do the math. That's why you see the market about to crash. What is going on? I'm not a terrorist. Just because I talk about the way things are unfair, I guess. Let's dig a little deeper while we can. Demand cannot exceed the supply that they have. And the market has an invisible hand. But it's not your toy to play with, understand. Understand they created this so that only a few are rich and the rest of us slave for wages. Get taxed and deal with inflation. It's outrageous. But most of the people blind to how they cage us. Oh, if only I was rich and fucking famous. Then I would pull a dollar out my pocket, hold it up like this. Burn it to a crisp, cause it ain't worth shit. If you got a dollar in your pocket, hold it up like this. Burn it to a crisp, burn it to a crisp. I would pull a dollar out my pocket, hold it up like this. Burn it to a crisp, cause it ain't worth shit. If you got a dollar in your pocket, hold it up like this. Burn it to a crisp, yo. Burn it to a crisp.
Yo, we're sick to death, I mean we're really sick to death. We don't respond or respect the person that represents our best interest and intellect, yet instead someone trying to collect more interest off of our debt. So what you get is what you expect from sleeping people. It's leading evil into our homes, making our privacies reveal the closing doors, making our love considered something concealed. The taste is bitter, but I'm still ready to reseal and rebuild our free will. And I will promise always to protect from my dying breath, cause I'm a beast from the neglect I've received. Woken up into this bad dream, so I'm stuck battling people that can't see the key that brought me. My instinct to put me back on my feet, along with this view and a microphone as a mean. Keep together the gaps between the desk and the bees that were once awake but fell back to
sleep. If you had a dollar in your pocket, open up like this. Turn it to a crisp, cause it ain't worth it. If you had a dollar in your pocket, open up like this. Turn it to a crisp, turn it to a crisp. If you had a dollar in your pocket, open up like this. Turn it to a crisp, cause it ain't worth it. If you got a dollar in your pocket, hold it up like this. Turn it to a crisp, turn it to a crisp.
Tired of being sick of this world that I'm living in, so much sicker than syphilis.